Oculus dev kits come out, kickstarting the modern VR movement.
Hooray!
Facebook buys Oculus.
Hooray!
Oculus requires a Facebook login, but that's okay because everybody has a Facebook account.
I don't.
You can't play Oculus games if Facebook is down, but that's okay because that will never happen, nor will people ever have local problems that makes Facebook unreachable.
Oh well.
The Oculus Quest is going to be renamed the Meta Quest, and now there's a problem. This is my old man Yells at Cloud update. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you actual details about this headline and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 901 of our show for tonight, January the 30th of 2022. I cannot believe the first month of the year is almost over, and I feel like I've done nothing with this year. But I've done these shows week in and week out with my co-hosts. So say hello first off. I'm Rob Roberts, and say hello to my co-hosts over there, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Sup.
Hi, how are you?
I am okay for not a lot of sleep. I'm remarkably perky.
Good. I'm glad you're doing
remarkably
well.
Perky for me.
You and I were talking about animated emotes on Twitch in chat a minute ago. Yeah, a lot of streamers are getting access to that now, and I didn't even realize Twitch had built in their own animated thing.
I've actually had slots for 5 animated emotes for like the last 4 months.
I didn't get them,
just finally
by the way, for some
got
reason.
Around to doing something with it.
Hmm.
But I took my boop pig emote and mm-hmm. I animated it.
Yeah, I see it in our chat because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. And yes, I see all sorts of emotes in chat. I see this cute little dog pounding thing that you posted
too. That's from Losing Color, and I need to see about – if I had the money, I would absolutely commission Kombuchi,
yeah,
who is absolutely amazing, but – as it is, I'm poor, and I have to figure out how to do this on my own.
And usually the very talented ones have a list a mile long because word gets out that they're talented, and so you got to wait, right? So,
Kombuchi charges, but the work is worth the money.
Of course.
And if I had it, I would pay it. I don't have it, so I have to contend with my own little crazy pixelated, boop on the nose.
Same for me. Public access, domain vector art and Snagit.
Well, I choose this myself.
Together. I've done some too myself, but I have to really kind of it's a hodgepodge. I might as well use MS Paint. That's for sure. I don't know what he's made in MS Paint lately, but say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Yeah, I'm all smeary today. Apparently,
what were you painting?
Huh? No. It's just my camera's all fuzzy for some reason. I was trying to figure out why.
I know this is going to sound silly, but turn it off and on again. No, seriously, because I have a weird problem with Discord. So I do the call with Bobby Blackwolf, and for some reason because he has the show, and I do the call, like the little tease call at the end of his show. For some reason, Discord forces my camera into the lowest resolution. I don't know why. And so to get it to work, I have to like stop it in OBS and then start it again, which is so weird, but it is what it is. I don't know why that is. So
it just picked the perfect scene and it's like even more blurry.
It just got fuzzier.
Yeah, so who cares, it's fine. Well, I'm sick, so that's fun.
Oh, aww. No,
it's not the Corvette.
It's not the big one. No. Is it? Do you use your government tests?
Our ones from school, but yes, the Easter test. And okay. No, it's not that. It's just, it's another fun, sore throat, fever, virus.
Sinus infection?
I don't know, but it's fun.
Everything's great. Going around, not just the big one, but everything is going around. I had a scare on the big C after the last episode of OLR. I found out, how I did that Twin Peaks event. Well, sure mm-hmm. enough, one of the actresses from the show posted to her Instagram that she was sick with you-know-what. And I was like, this is how I get COVID. This is,
At least that would be a fun story.
At least
Laura Palmer gives COVID.
I know,
Well, it was the other one. I'm not trying to name names joking. I'm not trying to name names or shame anyone. That's why I'm not being as specific. You know, you stealth folks can figure it out. But you know, I'm sorry to hear that she got it. But you're right. It would have been not that catching COVID is funny at all, because many people have died from it. However, let's look at the fact that, yes, it would have made for a very interesting party story five years from now. And I'm vaccinated, boosted. So, you know, if I had gone through a week of hell, then, you know, I at least I would be OK. But it turns out I used my government test to find out that it was my Wario 64 test, because you know, Wario 64, the person on Twitter that posts all the video game deals and sales and things like that. Well, yeah, out of the blue one day, this is how that person makes money. Affiliate links to all the Amazon things that they're posting about, and all those websites that they are. Y'all are giving Wario a ton of money, but it's fine. I mean, some would say they're doing a public service and have earned the money. Well, out of the blue, Wario posts a link to Amazon. Hey, Amazon has the COVID test in stock. Get them now. And it was one of those odd moments where it's like, okay, the dude who gives me links to sales on video games ends up being the one to finally let me find a COVID test. And sure enough, I got my Wario 64 COVID test. So that was one of the ones I took when I found out not Laura Palmer had exposed me to COVID. And I was negative. Thank you very much. But I was like, oh no, I have a sore throat. Is this it? I'm fine.
I got a bunch of tests from work, and they actually, before you can go in the building, mm-hmm. if you're not, like, they have you test once a week if you're vaccinated. And if mm-hmm. you're not, you have to test every day before you can come into the office. So, because I'm not an on-site technically employee right now, they made me take a rapid test. It's the first time I've done one of them, and like it came, my results came through like right away. Be like, you gotta wait 15 minutes. I'm like, fine. And of course it was negative, and I got to go in and see some of my coworkers and say hi and get the good coffee that they have at work. Oh my god, I miss the work coffee so much. Not like the coffee machines that they, you know, grind it and brew it, you know, all of that there. But like, we have like a coffee cart thing. Mm-hmm. And oh, it was so good.
You know what else is only good from carts? Churros. Just saying.
At Disneyland. Or in the Fashion District in Los Angeles. Just saying. Look,
I don't know if it's the gamer in me or what, but I actually thought the at-home COVID test was kind of fun. It was like a little at-home chemistry kit. It's like,
you know,
put six drops in here, put this thing in here. Oh, you got to follow the IKEA instructions. Okay. I was like, oh, this is kind of fun.
Actually, Rob,
what?
You now know kind of what it's like to do a pregnancy test.
Who says I haven't taken one before for fun? No, I'm just kidding. But yes, I'm sure they're similar.
Except, you know, it's up your nose instead of pee.
All right. I'm going to chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. DJ Rama S says, Wario 64 is the reason why I have a ton of video games.
Congratulations,
now.
Rob. Your nose is pregnant.
No, not pregnant.
You're having
not
a nose pregnant. Baby.
Let's see. Jaskrin says, what? I love Rob's OLR shirt. Thank you. Unfortunately, these were only available for a limited time because we had the store on an old website and we no longer use that website. So that just says we've got to get a new store up and running. So I'm sorry. I personally have been very distracted with my big move coming up. So it hasn't really been a priority. But we got to make that happen because Jaskrin wants a shirt. And I'm sure there's more people out there. And for those on the podcast feed, I'm wearing an orange, Dark Soccer designed this. It's Orange Lounge Radio, but it's in like a Sega style font, inspired font, let's say. And it looks really cute. I like it.
So. For the record, I do have all of my original designs, and just make an account and I'll get you the stuff.
We got to open up a storefront and throw it all up there. We'll get to that.
I have my own store, and it has been, it's really, really easy to do stuff on it.
Nice. Let's see other comments in chat here. Bobby Blackwell says, my favorite thing is that nobody knows who Wario 64 actually is, in terms of, is it one person or is it multiple
it's
people?
Banksy.
It reminds me of Sushi X from back in the day. Nobody, yeah. I mean, we know now, but we didn't know then, you know, back in the, for those of you old time gamers like me who used to get excited about a new month of Electronic Gaming Monthly magazine available in stores. You know, you get all excited about those, and you know, you never knew who Sushi X was, but we found out years later it was a variety of different people, if I'm not mistaken. It was kind of a mantle that was passed along, if I recall correctly. So anyway, let's get into some more gaming and get into our kickoff topic tonight. I hate that here we go again with another NFT story. It's just like, God, it just won't stop. But I, the reason why we keep bringing it up is because the industry keeps bringing it up and people ask the industry people about it. And that's exactly what's going on this week. Loki, I don't know if you would mind taking us away tonight with this. And yes. Our latest update from executives versus the rest of us on NFTs.
Because every time that an executive said, no, listen, you just don't understand why this is important. You just don't get it. That's always worked out for them all the time. Like, I mean, just ask Microsoft how the original Xbox One launch or pitch was going. So, because people don't like NFTs and there's been a lot of backlash that they had made some comments regarding it, basically saying that I think gamers don't get what a digital secondary market can bring them for now, because the current situation of context of NFTs, gamers really believe it's destroying the planet and the second a tool for just speculation. But what we at Ubisoft are seeing is the end game. The end game is about giving players opportunity to resell their items once they're finished with them or they're finished playing the game itself.
No.
Wow. Way to like totally not address anybody's concerns on that. It's like, I still don't understand with like the blockchain stuff. Like, I get it with these digits you're talking about. They're just items with numbers on them, which is no big deal. But Steam is managing a whole host of digital items without blockchain. Like, why do we need to incorporate blockchain technology into this? If you want to talk about speculative market, I mean, all of the stuff that's on their digital marketplace is pretty much speculative. I just think it's stupid. And it's also just like, why? Like, what's the point? Like, I just won't buy it. Like, I won't play your stupid game. Like, I don't get the point. And even still, like, on top of that, like, let's say that, you know, there's an item that you can sell. Does it mean you're going to have a buyer for that item? Like, that's the thing, is they're talking about, like, oh, yeah, you can sell it later. Well, like, what if no one wants to buy that piece of garbage?
Exactly.
That'd be like saying, you know, hey, guess what? You can sell your old, like, Madden players, you know, for Madden 05 or something like that. It's like, yeah, but no one plays that anymore. You know, that's the thing, is people move on. So I think it's just a big waste. I think it's just, if they're anything, the reason why they want to do this, and they really could, like I said, do this without NFTs, is they want a piece of that transaction cost for processing the transaction for the buying and the selling of whatever digital item it is. They want to double, triple, quadruple dip on this stuff. But like I said, Steam does this already with their digital items that they have on their storefront. And they're like, not even things you can technically use for sometimes. It's like trading cards or a picture of a pickle or something. Like, it literally has no utility, but people are being speculative with it. And they still take a cut of that on the marketplace. Like, you can do that without NFT. The NFT stuff, all that does is allows it to occur outside the platform, which is really completely unnecessary.
That's the, like, other thing. That's one of the other things I'm not understanding about NFTs, is that so many of them I've seen are so damn ugly. I'm like, who wants that now?
A lot of that stuff is procedurally generated. Like, especially like those, the Bored Ape Yacht Club. I don't know what the hell it's called.
Sorry, I know Jamie wanted to jump in, but I just wanted to say really quick, like, there's a very popular I'm not going to say who they are because I'm not giving them free advertising, because this company advertises on every podcast except ours. But it is a very popular site to buy underwear. Okay, and I recently actually used this site, and I will say it's expensive as fuck, but it's actually probably some of the best underwear I've had, actually. But they posted on this NFT bandwagon thing, and it's one of those like ugly ass monkeys that I don't understand. And so many people are like, canceling my sub, done with you, done with this. And I'm like, what this website, as far as I know, had a really good thing going. Why are they throwing it away for a stupid monkey? That an ugly monkey piece of art. I don't understand. I especially don't understand how an underwear company gets into NFTs. But I mean, that's, I know I'm getting away from video
you
games,
have
but it's just
money that you just, can burn and like, look at, we're current.
It just screams to me. It's an investor thing that somebody sat those people down in a room and said, this is cool. This is where it's going. Anyway, I'm sorry, Dark Soccer. I know you're trying to jump in.
I was just saying maybe I should make an NFT that says Dark Sakura made this NFT. Give me a dollar.
No, don't buy into it.
I'm not. But
I know.
But it would be fun to like make a parody and use their tactics to prove how stupid their tactics are.
Bobby Blackwolf.
Hi, I've made exactly a dollar.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, the best analogy is that old buy a star campaign that was around as a kid. People would buy and name a star after a family member. That star was now yours. You got a certificate. That company went under. No one else recognizes that you own the star or that you named the star. Exactly.
Or no, I want the mining rights.
You
can
buy it by a title. You could be a lord or a lady.
With
no actual landowning rights.
The interesting thing that's happened for me in the past week is that I've seen people that I consider to be intelligent people making pro NFT arguments and trying to actually state what the reasons are for this. I'm not convinced, but I thought here was the argument that I saw where at least it wasn't somebody just screaming at somebody on Twitter. You're an idiot. You don't understand. You're missing out. At least I saw somebody say something that was like an actual thought that was a thought. I disagree with the conclusion, but the conclusion was essentially like, well, you buy things in marketplaces all the time in games, and essentially the marketplace owns those. Well, what if you could go to a decentralized place where those things were owned? I want to point out, because I know somebody's already typing in chat, I know the Ubisoft thing. Yes, Ubisoft still has it. The comment I read was not in response to this Ubisoft thing. And that was the argument. But to me, I have two problems with that. Number one, it still doesn't show that those items have any value, especially in video gaming. I think we've seen that there is so much supply and not enough demand anytime these things get opened up, especially like the Diablo 3 real money auction houses, is because all of these bots from countries around the world will get in and try to screw over Americans and other gullible people that will get this. And the surprise was very, very few people were buying. And my other, sorry, just real quickly, my other point to kind of counter the, you know, what otherwise, you know, I consider this person to be intelligent. I'm glad they're actually having a real debate about it. But the whole fact that even if it's decentralized, to me, that actually opens it up to exploitation. How much have we heard about that Bitcoin's getting stolen? Crypto is like big on the dark sides of the web and all this stuff. Like it's a wild west. In some ways, I'm actually like, maybe decentralization actually isn't good for some of these things. Anyway, Loki, I'm sorry, your point.
No, I was just basically going to say that I don't think we're going to have necessarily a problem with bots snatching these up. However, it does allow the opportunity to make something artificially scarce to drive up the price. It's also just a big waste of time. Like, once again, like, we have cosmetics for video games have gotten to a point where they are ridiculously expensive for certain things. Like, a whole skin, you know, might be $20 to change it to, like, blue or something. And now you're talking about, oh, hey, let's drive that price up even more. Like, I just don't care. Like, I don't think that it would make sense. The only way that this would actually work is, like, say you had some unified platform where, you know, I can create a skin for some avatar and be able to use it across, like, a bunch of different games from a bunch of different publishers, you know, or... another good example would be like, say, if, you know, Sony were to sell all of their digital games like an NFT. So if it could create a secondary market for those digital games that you could go and then resell that later on when you're done playing that game, that would be something. But they're not going to do that because that devalues their stuff and they want, you know, to drive the price up. I just don't see this being done in a meaningful way. And so far what we've seen these game companies use NFTs for is not a meaningful thing. Like,
yeah.
Ooh, it's a helmet with a number on it. Are you ever going to be able to see that number on that helmet when you're running around shooting people? No, you're not going to stop there and go, wow, you have a number one helmet. No one cares. No one is going to care.
I think a part of what you said really hits the nail on the head. Like, is that this is not the way to convince people to get NFTs. Ugly ass fucking procedurally generated monkey art is not the way to convince people. Stealing other people's art, not the way to convince people that NFTs are it. Now, when you talk about these types of things that, like, if I make a design, like maybe something that is like, let's say, I don't know, like the Vogue logo or something that, you know, we you know, have here at Vogue, and maybe we can take that and put it on in-game stuff and we can move that from game to game and things like that. Like, there's something there where I'm like, that seems a little more interesting, but I just, like, I don't feel that you necessarily need the blockchain's involvement for that. It just takes the right strategic partnerships with companies to make that happen. And then it would actually be regulated, which I actually think at the end of the day is probably a good thing.
Yeah. And a lot of times with NFTs nowadays, it's just you own the link to that piece of art, which they can just take it offline too. And that's happened. So it's stupid.
Jason in chat says, by the way, great voiceover work tonight, Jason, says, value is subcultural, niche. NFTs being hype is trying to astroturf that into the mainstream for various reasons. Oh, astroturf it. I love that. Two highly valuable things in Rocket League that mean nothing to a non-player, white Zombas and Alpha Boost. A lot of the problem is the mainstream nature of it more than the thing itself. Well, let's go back to the comment. And this is the other thing that gets me is these executives that are fucking clueless that I get paid millions of dollars to be fucking morons that just dig their heels in on this stuff. And to make a claim like, you know, oh, gamers just don't want NFTs because they don't get it. Yeah, we don't get why you keep shoving it down our throat. Like, stop. You know, let it be the niche thing that it is. How these folks stay, and of course it's coming from Ubisoft, a company that's got all sorts of issues up and down anyway. So, Ubisoft's getting bought by someone before the year's over. Just wait. All right. Let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games we've been playing this week. Dark Soccer, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
Well, as I was saying before the show, I mentioned this last week that I had been redoing my Windows 11 for ARM on Parallels. I got Mass Effect installed. I tried to run the first game. No, it just would stop. It would go right back to the launcher. So on a whim, I tried Mass Effect 2. It loaded just fine. So did Mass Effect 3. So I had to go haul my ass to find a gibbed editor that will work. So I'm going to start a game for Mass Effect 2, then cancel out of the game, modify my save file, and then I can start Mass Effect 2 the way I want to. But I don't know what it is, but I think the emulation is getting a lot better. I still had trouble with VHS, which I might do the next update and try VHS again. So we'll see. But a mutual streamer friend of ours made use of my VHS and did not care for it that much. So, I, of course, I have played Dead by Daylight right now as the Lunar New Year event. If you log in every day, you get 50,000 blood points every day, which is nice. I have decided to also try to P350 my Freddy first out of just pure, I don't know, reasons. I don't know why people don't like Freddy. Freddy's awesome.
They don't like playing against Freddy. That's what it is.
And the thing is, like, people are like, oh, Freddy's still freaking strong. No matter how much they have nerfed him, a good Freddy player will nail you. End of story. I have also played a little bit of Demon's Tilt because that game is fun. I picked up the Apple Arcade version of Zen Pinball because it has Theater of Magic and a few other tables that I like on it.
Oh, cool.
And I own a Theater of Magic, but I would like to stream a Theater of Magic as well. So now I can do both. I played, of course, you know, freaking Wordscapes because it's great. And I started playing Marvel Contest of Champions on my iPhone. And I don't know, but it's kind of fun. It's just like a little silly fighting game. And one of these days I'll get like characters I actually like, even though they're random. And I think that's about it.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll go to Loki in your gaming week.
I did play more than one thing this week, so I was feeling pretty brain dead earlier today, so I jumped back into Power Washing Simulator.
Oh, good. That's always a nice, relaxing game, yeah.
Yeah, a little too much, though. It actually almost put me asleep, so I had to stop playing it after a while, but I was washing a carousel, so that's the level I was on for that. And then, of course, more Minecraft, obviously. I put out my new episode this morning, so that's out there now. My starter base, which is enormous, so now I got to top that. That's going to be a lot of planning. Yeah, it's pretty much that was pretty much it. I didn't play a whole ton this week because, like I said, I haven't been feeling well the last few days. But probably more Minecraft this week.
Hey, at least you got a video posted. You keep keeping that going. That's good. So,
yeah,
everyone check that out on YouTube at Loki OLR. So, my gaming week. I actually played a lot this week. Yeah, I played some of my usuals. Continued on Final Fantasy 14, of course, because you know y'all know I love that. Working on leveling my Dancer and my White Mage, just depending on what I feel like playing that day. As I work on my new quest to get all my jobs to 90 to go with this expansion, because why not? And then I've also been playing Dead by Daylight as well. Probably not as much as Dark Sakura, but a little bit. I'm actually, my first P350 is going to probably be Cheryl, because she's already the P3 part, and now I think she's up to like level 46, and you get a decent amount of blood points from this event. So, the only thing that ticks me off is I can't get Borrowed Time to show up on her fucking blood web, and that is when you solo queue, that talent is so needed.
It was on there not long ago.
No. I'm not trying to secrets. I mean, like showing up in her
blood web.
Yeah, to get it. Oh. I can't get it. So it's just,
you know what whatever. The new thing is right now, right?
What's that?
It's like flip flop.
Oh, boil over and that whole thing.
Boil over and flip flop.
Yeah.
I'm like, all I've just been doing is bringing, when I'm not doing the calendar, the lunar envelopes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just bringing whatever shortens the distance between hooks.
You got to be careful too. A lot of killers will just let you bleed out if you're going to play that game, to just mess with killers and try to get them to drop. So, oh no, I'm just saying in general to the millions of listeners have out there.
Slugfest. Yeah. It's all been slugfest, and honestly, I don't like to do that to people.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they've just been a
I don't either, but I will.
Ass.
Yeah,
I'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Other games I've been playing. Let's see. So, some new stuff. I played Taiko no Tatsujin because that just came out. A new version of it came out on, I guess it was PC as well as Xbox, but I picked it up on Xbox Game Pass, and I was playing a little bit of it, and it's got a cute song list. It has Undertale music in it, which kind of cracked me up. It has like a variety of different Namco stuff, but then like it has the random like Capcom song, like there was, you know, Ryu from Street Fighter V is there. And this was the thing that cracked me the fuck up. Then they have, you know, they have some J-pop songs. They have some Vocaloid, like Hatsune Miku sounding songs. They have a pretty decent mix of things. And then they have pop songs. The most random fucking pop songs are in there. I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. That's not that obscure.
That's a
pop standard. Here's the one that made me laugh. You're going to lose Whamageddon every time you play this game because Last Christmas by Wham is in the game. Why? I don't know. But it's fucking funny.
I like it.
Yeah, it's very memeable.
I don't mind the Whamageddon. I mind the Mariah Apocalypse.
Well, Mariah, Taiko no Tatsujin is Mariah Free. But for whatever reason, Last Christmas by Wham is there. And that just cracked me the fuck up. So, yeah, it's an interesting song list. I was having a little like the timing was throwing me. And I didn't even, I was listening to Bobby's show. He went a little more in depth on Taiko no Tatsujin because I guess it has more issues on PC. Like it won't even play right now. But I didn't even know you could go into a calibration mode. I don't like the interface particularly. I do remember playing the Switch version, and the Switch one had a better interface than this one. But this one is with Game Pass, so I didn't pay anything extra for it. So that was cool. And it has super easy achievements. You keep getting 5-point achievements. Bing, 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 bing. Like open a menu and you get an achievement. It's really, really silly, that's for sure. So interesting. Hi, Akuma JP is in our chat, and I haven't seen Akuma JP in a long time. It's so good to see you. I know life happens sometimes. You can't make it every week, but it's so good to see you tonight. And Akuma JP says, Japanese love that song, Last Christmas. A lot of Americans do too, but I think it's become a like, to put it in perspective, you cannot go into a dentist's office in November or December and not hear that song. Because you know dentist's office always play that smooth rock. It's time for the smooth mix. And now coming up, Kenny G, followed by Celine Dion. You know?
You know what, though?
What?
I am now going to incorporate Last Christmas when I eat my KFC. For Christmas.
You should. You should.
Because I think that the KFC tradition from Japan is the best tradition ever. Uh-huh. Only second to the Jewish tradition of eating Chinese food.
Both good traditions. But if you want to make playing Last Christmas in Taiko no Tatsujin your new tradition, you sure can. So I played a little bit of that. It's cute, but I didn't play a lot of it because the next day was the release of Pokemon Legends, which I picked up. I've been saying Pokemon Legends Arceus, but I guess it's supposed to be Arceus or Arceus. You know what? Language is fluid, and I'm saying Arceus because that's what it feels like. You know what? These games don't have... It's 2022, and these games still don't have fucking voice acting. So as far as I'm concerned, they're leaving it up to us and our imaginations to dream it up.
I would have to look at Kana to see how it's supposed to be pronounced.
And that's where they're getting the Arceus from, is the original Japanese text. But,
well, and on top of that, a C in that respect would typically be a soft C.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But then again, people, you know, don't say GIF.
I know, they say GIF because then the creator got behind, right? So yeah. So exactly. And I say it's a GIF thing. And I also say it really doesn't matter what you call the game. It's going to be the same game at the end of the day. And it's actually, I'm really enjoying it. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it, but I did the right thing and I didn't buy into a lot of the hype. And I find when I do this with games, I always enjoy it better because that was my secret with No Man's Sky. Remember, I didn't hate No Man's Sky 1.0. I thought it was a little bare bones, but I didn't hate it because I didn't buy into the fucking hype. And I did that. And believe me, Shane would send me text messages quite frequently with the latest. And I would be kind of like, oh, neat. Sounds neat. But I didn't really watch a lot of videos or anything. And I think I'm actually better for it because it made the experience a lot more like, oh, I wasn't expecting. Oh. And that was kind of like what it's been playing the game so far. It's neat. So yes, a lot of people are saying that this is like Pokemon meets Breath of the Wild. And I absolutely see those comparisons because they've definitely put in like the crafting, the open world, the multiple ways to do things. Even some of the musical cues sound really familiar. And like the interface looks kind of familiar a little bit. I would also say that there's a lot in common with Pokemon Snap, which is a little more of a deeper cut, I think, for some people. But I think the way that you are encouraged to... Like, the stealth in this game is actually a little more Pokemon Snap to me, in that you have to snap things a certain timing in a certain way to really get the max points. And I think there's some of that, too, in this. But I also like that they've really changed the concept of the Pokédex. Because usually with the Pokédex in the mainline games, you get, like, half a check for seeing the Pokemon and a full check for catching the Pokemon. In this game, catch them all isn't good enough. You got to catch them all. You got to catch them all off guard. You got to use them all to see certain moves. You got to do all these different things with it to really master that entry in your Pokédex. Now, you only have to get so many, like, you don't have to, like, catch 50 of each Pokémon just to check off the Dex entry. It gives it to you at a pretty low number, but you have to do more than just catch it. And I think that's interesting because it's really been encouraging me to rotate my team more often. So yeah, there's a lot. I think the gameplay is a lot more interesting than any of the mainline Pokemon games that I've played. I like the fact that there's side quests. I like how the open world lends itself to that, and the fact that you can really feel like you can do things in whatever order. And maybe you feel like you're a little behind in levels on the main quest. Okay, go do these side quests. You know what? I need to go grind some of these things so I can craft more Pokeballs. I like that. Like, I like that it's a little bit, like, you don't feel like you haven't done anything if you spend an hour just catching more Bidoofs and getting material needed for Pokeballs, because you still have, you're going to need those Pokeballs later. And you know what? You're going to have that full entry on Bidoof in your Pokedex. So I think that's all really neat. I don't think the game is perfect. I'm going to say this is my biggest complaint about the game. It feels like a PlayStation 3 RPG. And I think that's what frustrates people time and time again with Nintendo, and especially Game Freak. Like, you think Nintendo's, I mean, at least Breath of the Wild felt very cutting edge. Game Freak is always really behind in their technological skills and all this. It just feels like you're playing something on the PlayStation 3. Now, a good game is a good game no matter what the graphics are. So does that really matter at the end of the day? Not really, but it is still frustrating to see that potential. And when you see those comments on Twitter from people that are like, Sony should buy Nintendo, so Nintendo has to make PlayStation 5 games. That's where those comments come from, is the frustration.
Bad games on the PlayStation 5. I mean, I don't know.
That is very true. Is that you see the potential for more. With like I just said at the beginning, it's 20. Nobody knows how Arceus, Arceus, Arceus is pronounced. But, well, I mean, you all have your arguments, which is fine. But we don't really know because there's still no voice acting in these games. And to be quite frankly, a lot of the text and everything feels a little bit like a slog in the beginning of the game. But once you finally get into it, it is really rewarding. And to be fair, and I think it's important to say, Pokemon Legends will still run in handheld mode, and a lot of people are running it in handheld mode. And for a handheld game, it does look really good. So there is that. And if you are going to be playing exclusively in handheld mode, then probably my PlayStation 3 comment isn't going to make a lick of difference to you. But yeah. It is frustrating to see that potential really lagging behind.
Especially when you have games like Xenoblade Chronicles looking the way it does on the same hardware. It's like, you could probably do a little better if you put a different studio behind it. But Game Freak gonna Game Freak.
Shad Starzik in chat says, no, we know how it's pronounced. Sure, we know how GIF is pronounced, but we all rejected that and said, no, it's GIF. I mean, you know, it's people are gonna do what they're gonna do. Language evolves. Let's see. Jason in chat says, I've been thinking about buying Arceus, thinking it might be the game that gets me back into the series after I'm tired of the mainline mechanics. I would really, you know, not to promote my own stream, but I would encourage you to check out some YouTubes and streamers that are playing the game just to get a feel if it might be for you, because just reading your comment, if you're sick of the mainline mechanics, this is a different game. Now, yes, you do battling in this game, and it's actually kind of hard. Like, you can't really steamroll Pokemon just because you have a type advantage. They can still do a decent amount of damage to you, and you'll feel like you're burning through potions. But in a way, I feel like that feels a little more rewarding for having crafted those potions in the first place than just my usual hoarder tendencies in a Pokemon game to just run right back to a Poke Center and never have to touch a potion, except unless I'm in a gym battle or something like that. So there's that as well. So, SSG100 Matt in chat says, I don't give Nintendo a hard time because they make these games fun. Nintendo had the biggest selling game last year, Animal Crossing. That is not a big graphically demanding game and no real voice acting. Yeah, fair point. And I didn't say, you know, again, I really like this game. It probably, I mean, ask me after I've spent a few more hours in it. It's probably, honestly, probably going to be my favorite Pokemon game. I feel like it's that much better than like even the mainline games and all that. But listen, give me a few more hours just to really make sure on that point. But I'm not saying I don't get frustrated that there's that potential to be even better that is unrealized. But I guess this is the first in a series, and hopefully the first in a series. I don't, after the critical reception this game's getting, and I would imagine the sales have been pretty good too, just based on my social media, I don't see how they don't think about having to do a follow-up in one way or another to this series. Loki, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, even though the Animal Crossing was the best-selling game and it has a simpler art style, doesn't mean that they didn't execute their art style flawlessly. I mean, I think that there could have been a lot that they could have done to make that game look better. It does look pretty rough around the edges. Not to say it's a bad playing game, but it's like, they kind of could have done a little bit more with this.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says, I was speaking towards the internet trolls who think that Nintendo needs 4K gaming with all the P's. Well, it wouldn't hurt. And there is a part of me that kind of wonders, was this game originally being made for a 4K Switch? And maybe we're seeing a scaled down version of the graphical power?
I hope not, because that would look terrible in 4K.
Well, what if we're not seeing the fully realized version? Because
I don't know.
It's just a thought. Anyway,
because even if you render those art assets in the lower resolution, that still doesn't change how they have the models and stuff in the game. It's just no. Like, really, to me, what stands out is really cheaply done is the environments. The environments to me look like, you know, it looks like stuff I would come up with in Unity, because I have no experience in making environments that look organic. It would be the stuff I'd come up with, unfortunately. And that's not a compliment. I think they could have done better. It just looks old. It looks dated.
Shad Starzik in chat says, this is considered mainline and not spinoff, so it could easily get another entry. Good. However y'all want to spin it with a different series of things, I think that this definitely deserves another entry. I would far rather see another game in this series than in the Let's Go series, which I would imagine at this point is probably done. And I can also say I've already put more hours into this Pokemon Legends than I did Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. That one kind of wore off after like just a few hours. I think I got maybe to the second gym and I was already over it. And maybe I'll go back at some point, maybe when they put in the home integration or something. But for as of right now, I don't even care about that anymore. I just want to play Pokemon Legends when it comes to that. So Fifth Dream in chat says, everyone, I love Breath of the Wild. Everyone, PLA, Pokemon Legends Arceus looks like Breath of the Wild. Everyone, PLA looks like shit. I get that line of thinking, but I am going to be very clear. Breath of the Wild is a far better looking game than this. But that's not to say this is bad. It's just, it's PlayStation 3 good. It's not really pushing the envelope graphically or anything like that. So, and Breath of the Wild was a better looking game. But this has that sort of style to it. And again, I think we're having a lot of arguments and stuff about the things that are wrong with it. There's a lot that's really right with it. I really like that there's multiple ways to catch Pokemon. You want to battle them the more traditional way, wear them down? Great. You want to stealth and bonk them in the back of a head with a Pokeball and catch them that way? Great. Like, I like that there's different ways to do things. You can use items, and that's very reminiscent of Breath of the Wild too, to like distract Pokemon, like start a fire over here, not really in Pokemon, but you can throw a smoke bomb or something, distract the Pokemon, and then, you know, do it that way. I like that there's many different ways to approach a problem, and I think that's kind of cool. So there's a lot of great things about the game, the graphics just aren't one of them, and that's okay. I just hope that if they do continue to invest in Legends, which they should, and I don't know if that means some of these concepts show up in Gen 9, that's still a little weird to me how that would work, because then I feel like there's got to be Pokemon people out there that don't want to see a lot of this stuff come to the mainline games, because the mainline games kind of exist as an RPG only. So I don't know how that ends up working or whatever, but I feel like there's got to be a place for this Legends formula. I also understand maybe they don't want to do like a historical thing for every generation, although somebody planted that idea in my head about a medieval game for the Sword and Shield generation, which I think would be pretty cool. But just the way this game works in, you know, the Pokemon context, I hope
Pokemon Assassin's Creed, where it's basically like the different timelines.
Yeah.
For reasons.
So, let's see. SJ100 Matt says, we'll see how that Breath of the Sonic the Hedgehog goes. I'm curious about that one, that's for sure. Mike Def says, I think Game Freak and the Pokemon Company have gone on record to say that they're done with Let's Go, but don't quote me on that.
Too bad. I like that game.
I didn't hate it, but it's very reductive with the other remakes they're doing. And I think I completely understand the argument that, like, how many times do we have to redo Gen 1? Like, let the series do their Gen 5 remake or whatever. But I'm far more interested now in what's the next Legends type game going to be. Like, that's where you're going to get my most interest at this point, even more so than Gen 9, to be quite honest. So there's a cute little crossover event in Pokemon Go. You can catch the little Huisan Voltorbs in the Pokemon Go right now. So I thought that's really cute. So, all right. That was my gaming week. I talked a lot about that game, but I know it's been a lot of people's gaming weeks. So, you know, we had to talk about it a little bit. But again, if you're on the fence about it, check out some Let's Plays, check out some YouTubes and stuff, because you're going to see it's a very different type of Pokemon game. And I think it might fix some of the issues that felt very repetitive sometimes in the mainline games. So, all right. Let's move on. We're going to get into some news. First, I want to remind you there is no show on February 20th. That's a few weeks from now, but just a reminder, there's not going to be a live show or a podcast that week. I'm moving. So we'll have 902, 903, and then there's going to be a break. And then when 904 shows up, it's going to look different because my whole setup at the new place is going to be different. So that'll be fun. Hopefully, I'll be at a place where Dark Sakura and Loki can actually see my webcam now, because I don't know if you guys know this. They can't see me. I can see them, but they can't see me. So, like, if I were to do something like this...
That's all right, Rob.
They can't see it. So, but in the...
I can see you on a delay. It's fine.
Oh, you see me on a delay. Okay. But in the new setup, I'm actually hoping I have a way to fix that. So, stay tuned. Anyway, let's move on, get into some news. And boy, oh boy, Loki... This is a fun one to start with tonight.
The viewers at home, I just want you to know that my eyes rolling back in my head. It's not me dying or having a stroke. It is just this is just as stupid as possible. So Atari celebrated their 50 years of making games, except they haven't been making games for quite a long time. But sure, you know, they've been around for a while. So what's the best way to do that? Well, of course, NFTs. But not just NFTs. Oh no, that we can't possibly just do one thing that people hate, but we're also going to do NFT loot boxes. That's right. Two things that people hate rolled into one, and they call them GFTs, like digital gifts.
Aren't they already digital?
Yes. So GFTs are like Hallmark cards for the next generation. That's funny because no one really cares about cards either. They're kind of...
For yourself.
I don't care about cards. And apparently, you know, rather than being some small predictable token, GFTs are governed by a loot table with predetermined random rates. Now, what exactly is in these? I have no idea. I mean, it looks like it's just some... 10 images inspired by the gaming past of the company. Yeah. Not really worth it, if you ask me. I'm not sure how much these are going for, but not buying them.
Now, Mike Defton chat points out, curiously enough, NFT loot boxes already exist. Yes. This isn't the first way it's been implemented, but... it's two bad ideas. NFTs, we already have talked about that, and now it's loot boxes on top of that. It's just like, make a bad thing and make it even worse. But boy, Atari sure seems to be wanting to find the money wherever they can get it, huh?
Yeah, so basically it contains one of 10 images, and two of those images are the epic rarity. I don't know. It's just... so stupid. I'm sorry. Like, because, like, oh, I just, where's the, like, I get it, there's a speculative market for this stuff right now, but, like, when that goes away, like, no one's going to care about this stuff. It's not probably very good art anyways. It's just, you're paying, it's like stamp collecting, I guess. At least that you have, you know, physical PC can trade.
You would think, right. You would think for their 50th anniversary, Atari would have something a little more, I don't know, like something to celebrate. I mean, since they keep relying on that 70s collection, like you would think that they would have like a definitive Atari collection or something. I mean, I guess they have the flashback consoles. They did have that Atari, I don't know, there's like volume 1, 2, 3 that was on like PlayStation 4 and Xbox One not that
their
long
PC.
Ago. They have that, their sad little PC, the AntStream deal, which kind of seems to be, you know, another big place where they exist right now. But I don't know. I would have thought that they'd have something. I guess Arcade 1-Up machines too. Maybe there'll be a 50th anniversary Atari Arcade 1-Up or something. I don't know. I just would have thought that there were other places to sort of celebrate 50 years, which is a pretty big milestone, other than freaking NFT and things that, you know, most people are not even going to know what they are. So it's just, it's silly.
Yeah, and this is being brought to us, I guess, by Republic Realm, who sold NFTs in the past. They sold a picture, or it's like, I guess, a 3D model of a quote-unquote yacht. It just looks like, once again, comparing it to my terrible skills, it looks like something I would model in a 3D program within a time limit of 15 minutes. It's not even a yacht. It looks more like an aircraft carrier, if you ask me. But, yeah, they sold it for 149 Ethereum or $650,000. It's just...
Why?
There are people out in this world that have so much money and are so stupid.
Well, a lot of these, like, logically thinking it through, like, if you really want to be like, how did somebody spend this much money? My guess is because it's somebody that's embracing this whole NFT thing and getting in on it early, they were probably the type that got in on Bitcoin or Ethereum or any of that stuff relatively early. So probably at a low value, they accumulated quite a bit of that type of coin. And now, because their perception of what is money is probably very warped by coming into a lot of money very quickly, it doesn't feel like as much money as it does to you and me. Like, logically, that's where I really think somebody ends up spending this kind of money on this type of situation.
Yeah,
now,
like,
they have to convince everybody else. It's because this is the thing. What is 600 Ethereum to you that is apparently now, like, I'm sorry, 50,000 or whatever it was to the rest of us? You have to be able to, and that's why you see all this real pointed language and stuff on social media and all this stuff, because they're trying to convince people that their money is worth what apparently it's supposed to be, and none of us believe it.
Just like, even if they were trying to sell this for $1.49 and not $650,000. It's not even worth that. Like, it's just garbage. Like, I don't, whatever, I guess, you know. Someday down the road, you're going to think about, you know, that guy that bought, you know, pizza with Bitcoin and spent, like, I don't remember how many, what the equivalent of millions of dollars in today's money that would have been worth. But this is essentially that. You're buying garbage for something that Ethereum could be worth, like, a ton of money, like, in the future. I mean, it's already worth pretty, you know, quite a bit, but, like, even more so. I just, whatever. I guess I'm just one of those gamers that just doesn't get it.
DJ Rama S in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, a wise man once said, a fool and their money are soon parted. There's a lot of modern things to read into with that, for sure.
I was going to say, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for a late pizza.
E3VL in chat says, it's...
You get it, right?
I do. Uh-huh. E3VL in chat says, it's like Pogs back in the day. Thought it was worth a lot back in the day. Now it's worth nothing. Well, you know what I also kind of put in that bin? And I know this is gonna ruffle some people's feathers. I put things like Magic cards and baseball cards. And not that I'm comparing those to NFTs. I'm talking about like what the value is to some people. When I was in high school,
what I've sold magic cards exactly, for, Rob.
Oh, exactly. Oh, that's exactly where I was going. Is that, you know, magic's been around since I was in high school. Not to date magic or myself, but that is it. So I sold my first deck of Magic the Gathering cards because I was over it, and I sold it to a friend for $35. I'm probably like that guy who bought the pizza for $1 million in Bitcoin today. There probably was shit in that deck that is now worth money to somebody in that deck today. But to me, I was over it. It wasn't worth anything anymore. And so am I upset about it? No. It was because you can't sell those cards to just anybody. You've got to convince somebody that rare printing with the black border. Sorry, I have a hard time speaking the language because it's been so long. You have to convince people that it's worth that kind of money.
Yeah,
and
but
it is.
And a lot though, like if you're talking about like traditional artwork, like these like paintings that go for a lot of money are typically from like very famous artists that have, you know, reputation or quality of work to them that are sought after, and that's why those pieces are worth so much. I don't know who this person is that drew some apes on the internet and made like, I don't know how many hundreds of them. Like, that literally means nothing to me. Like, and I don't understand why they're going for so much. But then you have like celebrities like, you know, Jimmy Fallon and Paris Hilton, going on their shows and saying, oh, look, I identify with this ape because I wear a striped shirt as well sometimes. And it gets normalized in this sense. But I think a lot of people are just kind of rolling their eyes like, I don't get this. It doesn't make any sense. And it's not that we don't understand how commerce works and how, like, you know, oh, this is going to be worth something. But it's not like, you know, if I have a piece of art, you know, a Rembrandt or something like that, and I have it hanging in my house, that is a piece of art that I have. Whereas, you know, if it's an NFT, someone can literally go get an exact copy of that, and like it's pretty much effortless. There's no uniqueness to it aside from what a blockchain says. You own this. Okay. I mean, like, it means nothing. It really does.
Yeah.
And it's not even like you own the rights to anything. It's just like it's silly. I think trying to find more utility for blockchain technology, which I think that there is, you know, possible uses for blockchain, but like NFTs, I just think that they're really trying to make it work. But
why put so much effort into something like this when we could have, say, improved quantum computing for home use?
Whatever happened to using your computing power for folding at home as opposed to Bitcoin mining, right?
Anyway. Or, and if they're worried about security, never mind. I could get completely started on.
All right. To be fair, I'm done talking about those. No fucking time things.
We always say we're done and then more shit happens.
Because it's the gaming industry. Because the gaming industry won't shut up about it. You know, this is the show about video games and gaming culture. And whether we like it or not, this is showing up. And it's because these executives are convinced they are missing the $1 million Bitcoin pizza or whatever the fuck it is if they don't get their companies in on this.
I just want pizza now.
I know. It does sound really good, doesn't it? All right, well, let's move on and let's talk about, hey, what I think is actually a good idea in the game industry and one that now a lot of people are trying to compete with in their own way. It's Microsoft Game Pass, right? So, interesting enough, Game Pass, I never really realized this, but there's probably a lot of people who buy Game Pass and then never use it, kind of like a gym membership. And, you know, Microsoft has these things on auto renewal because, you know, that's how gyms make their money. Yeah, people who have a gym membership and then never go, right? Well, interesting, because thanks to a recent settlement in the UK, basically, they're going to be making some changes to the way Xbox Live Gold and Game Pass, Microsoft is going to be making a change to this. So if you have not used Xbox Live Gold or Game Pass in a year, you're going to get in touch. Like, basically, Microsoft's going to send you an email or something and say, this is how you stop your payments if you want to opt out. But if you keep
That's nice.
If you keep doing it over another 12 months, so 2 years, Microsoft stops taking payments. Now, well, Microsoft isn't quite doing this out of the goodness in their hearts. They're having to do it to the UK consumers first because this is an agreement with the Competition and Markets Authority, or the CMA, in the UK. However, now where you can say good guy Microsoft is that there's no reason for them to roll this outside the UK, but they are going to roll it out to the rest of the world. Perhaps they fear that similar things would have come down the pipeline. Who knows? But that is something that they are doing. So again, UK first, and in an interview with The Verge, Microsoft said it will be rolled out globally in the near future, although, of course, we don't know exactly when that is. Also, we do not know how auto-renewing systems on the Switch or PlayStation Plus or any of that will have to respond. Microsoft has also agreed to have better upfront information about the memberships, meaning basically like it's very clear that this is an auto renewal, when your subscription is going to be renewed and how much you're going to pay and how to get a refund. So they have to kind of give all that information up front. The CMA's executive director of enforcement, Michael Grenfell, said, quote, gamers need to be given clear and timely information to make informed choices when signing up for auto renewing memberships and subscriptions. We are therefore pleased that Microsoft has given the CMA these formal undertakings to improve the fairness of their practices and protect consumers, and will be offering refunds to certain customers. Very interesting. So it's interesting that the rest of the world is kind of benefiting from that too. So if you've been too lazy to go and cancel your Microsoft Game Pass because you're not using it, well, in 2 years, you don't have to do it. It'll be done for you. But I also would say, if you're paying for Game Pass and you're not using it, you're kind of missing out. Like there's got to be at least one free game on there you want to play. So, over to our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Mike Def says, I feel guilty of that. Barely using my Game Pass sub. You didn't even play the new Taiko no Tatsujin? Soon, I'm sure. Keep in mind, you only have to use it once in 2 years, and then they're going to consider that you're using it. SSG100 Matt says, it's just avoiding lawsuits from the consumer protection agencies, which is who MS made a deal with in the UK to avoid a lawsuit. Just makes sense. A simple email takes the onus off of them. And ZenMonkey11 says, I'm glad the UK stepped up. Like a year ago, I had Game Pass. I forgot to unsubscribe before the auto-renewal. Microsoft hunted me down for their $15. I couldn't get PC Game Pass until I paid them. Oh, that's how the gym memberships and all that work too. So interesting, interesting. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, how about something else online? But it's not Xbox or anything about that. It's Netflix. Netflix is going to be expanding their game library. They're working with a Canadian game agency called Rocket Ride Games to do that expansion. They will be able to play some mobile games with the partnership. Two of the games that are available already are, this is on the Netflix app, is Domino's Cafe and Knittens. Knittens, both added in December from Rocket Ride. And there are more games coming out. Netflix is saying no ads, no in-app purchases. They are included standard with your Netflix subscription to promote the service. It looks like Rocket Ride has been making a decent amount of money with, you know, similar deals like this. And they're really happy about working with Netflix. The Netflix games app was released, at least for the Google App Store in the UK on November 2nd, last year, and had two Stranger Things games. So do you want to try?
I haven't yet, but, I like that Netflix is trying to sweeten the pot a little bit. I like the fact that it's, you know, gaming and, you know, other like movies and TV shows and things like that. So, but otherwise,
to take out the stuff for Dead by Daylight.
Oh well, yeah, and probably
I found myself missing the Hawkins Laboratory, Rob.
What's the world come to? Yeah, but I think that Crow's map is pretty good. So I like.
I'm glad you think so.
All right. Here, let's move on to another story that has been weeks and weeks long, but important, and I think definitely will be the future of our industry, Loki.
Yeah, you would think that the tune would change, being that they're going to be purchased by Microsoft here pretty soon, but apparently Activision Blizzard has called for a studio-wide vote after they refused to recognize the union from Raven QA staff. So they're going to have everybody vote, kind of. I think it's probably to delay this from happening. So now the whole company has to vote on whether they should recognize the union. And then, of course, the staff at, or the QA testers at Raven have ended their strike following their announcement of the union that they developed. So that's good. But I mean, I think they're probably going to wait and see if it's actually being recognized by the company. But I'm just surprised that they're willing to do this after, I mean, I guess any company is looking to squash unions, but
I'm a little surprised they don't see the writing on the wall, but this is completely unsurprising of the current powers that be at Activision either to, you know, basically be like, well, we're not going to recognize it, but I mean, we'll see what happens after the vote, but it'll be interesting. I think it's interesting they ended their strike too, but I also get that like union is like where they want to end up, and ultimately I think where the game industry is going to end up. So I think this is all a process that's just going to play out over the next few years, and then eventually you're going to see a lot more game workers that are unionized, and more of them that get there, the more lucrative those companies are going to be to work for.
Especially when they see how, you know, this works out for them. I mean, if it ends up working out for that, the QA team, then yeah, I think you could have more people in the other departments following suit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, meanwhile, at another troubled company, Ubisoft, some news that I don't think is very surprising to folks who followed this game, because there weren't a lot of folks following this game, but Hyperscape is going to be shut down on April 28th. That game didn't come out that long ago, if I remember right. That was the one that was like, it was more like it was trying to capture the Battle Royale thing, right? It was kind of like Apex Legends, that sort of thing. But they were trying to do more with like anti-gravity, vertical type of stuff. That was the whole thing on Hyperscape. So Ubisoft in an announcement said, quote, "We set out to create a vertical, close quarters, and fast-paced shooter experience. We are extremely grateful to our community for joining us on our journey. We will be taking key learnings from this game into future products." So it'll be interesting what that could possibly mean, if maybe you see a mode like this show up in another game or something. I don't know. The game just came out in summer of 2020, so it didn't even last a year. In fact, less than a year before they announced that they were going to pull the plug, start to finish. So that's pretty scary, the amount of life it was on that. But again, to have a Battle Royale be successful, you have to have a lot of people that are playing it, or else it can't find the people to do a new match. So I think that's probably a big part of the problem. Anyway, so Ubisoft did admit the Hyperscape didn't fully meet the high expectations of our players. I think it's because the game was kind of a mess when it came out. So, apparently Ubisoft may still be trying to do Battle Royale in other games. And so, again, this might be something that you see in other titles that they do, such as Ghost Recon Frontline. Apparently, there's going to be one new game in the genre there. And The Division Heartland is also supposed to have a Battle Royale mode as well. So maybe they'll have more success in an established franchise than trying to do a franchise of their own. But
I know it's not necessarily that they're blaming their consumers again, but it kind of almost the way they phrase that, like it didn't meet the high expectations of our gamers or consumers. It's like your expectations were just set too high. You just don't get it.
Well, yeah, but I think people would also call them out on that because the game had its issues.
I know. I know that's not the way that they meant it, but like coming after that whole NFT thing, it's like, you guys are just, you're just not in tune with us, okay? It was only supposed to be at this level. I don't know.
ZenMonkey11 in chat says, "That's why I hate all these online-only games. They come and go within months. Fuck that. Not Fortnite, not PUBG, not Apex." So, I mean, I get it. I totally get what you're saying, because you always inevitably, all these games are trying to be that and emulate that for other companies. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. To me, it's very similar with World of Warcraft. When World of Warcraft hit its all-time high, you know, around Wrath of the Lich King, how many MMOs did we see come out that just flopped within months? I mean, shit, it almost looks like New World is headed a similar way. Is that, like, New World was huge for, like, 15 days, and now it's, like, you know, but that's not to say every MMO has flopped. Certainly Final Fantasy 14, which maybe I'm a little biased, but I think most can see that that one's done well. And there's other ones as well that have hung in there. I mean, shit, EverQuest is still going after all these years. So, you know, there are other good MMOs. But I just feel like whenever there's a good thing in gaming, everybody wants to emulate it somehow. Minecraft, right? How many crafting and those types of retro-inspired graphic games do we see now? A ton. How many of them are successful? Little different there because the multiplayer environment and the always online isn't as necessary with that, but certainly we've seen a lot of that. So, Mike Def says, at least we got some Twitch emotes for that game. I wonder if those will stick around. That's for sure. Questbuster saying there's a rumor floating around that Battlefield 2042 might go free to play because it's performing so badly. Oh, that would be very interesting. Zeba SA points out Final Fantasy XI still going after all these years too. Oh, absolutely. And it, you know, it blows my mind. They still don't have like a free to play model or that, but they're still making updates to that game, even though the mobile version of that sure disappeared. And Jason points out quite simply, yes, wherever there is success, everyone wants to emulate it. Look at all these NFT stories. Because somebody heard that a procedurally generated monkey sold for thousands of dollars, and now everybody wants a piece of that money. It's just wild.
They saw how easy it was.
And now, look at Konami. Konami should have never made the kind of money they did on that Castlevania stuff. But here we are. They did. And now Atari is like, oh shit, we got a retro collection we can tap into too. And this is, it's just going to be, because that's all the investors are going to see are dollar signs. And look at all these idiots on the internet with all this money. All this money that they don't know how to spend. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. Dark Soccer, I believe you next.
Well, Nintendo is, of course, very protective and very greedy with their IPs, with any of their properties. And there is a popular video game music channel called Gilva Sunner. And they've actually targeted them before. But now they have been hit with 1,300 takedowns for so many different soundtracks, you know, Smash Brothers and various Mario games and Legend of Zelda games. And so the owner of this site, I'll just read the quote. I see a lot of assumptions being made by some of you with some extreme words against me. Let me clarify again that I do not monetize videos and do not profit from them. I do realize that doesn't justify uploading the content. I'm also not angry or surprised that Nintendo is doing this, but I do think it's a bit disappointing. There is hardly an alternative. If Nintendo thinks this is what needs to be done to set an example, I will let them take down the channel. It is their content after all.
I like,
you know what
that...
I'm most... Oh, go ahead.
Please, you.
I was going to say, you know what makes me most surprised about this? It's like, I see, constantly people using Nintendo music in their live streams, in their videos, like, egregiously. And I would think that, like, I would be most wary of using Nintendo licensed anything in any of my videos because they are so litigious happy. I'm shocked it took this long.
I did a series of 5 to 10 videos on retro games for my personal YouTube channel back in, like, it was a while ago. I was in the old apartment, so it was probably like 2000, but I was with Alan, so it was probably like 2011, 2012. I did these videos, and one of them was about The Legend of Zelda, and I'm talking and I'm doing all this stuff, but yeah, the Nintendo music is there because I'm playing Legend of Zelda. Oh, Nintendo copyright claimed it like that. I don't particularly care because I'm not really in the business to make money. But I thought that was very interesting. That was like, all right, well, I guess, okay. Nintendo's very much like, nobody's profiting off this but us. But, you know, I also understand it is their game, whatever. I like, at least in this story, I feel like the content or the con, it feels weird to say content creator because they're not really creating anything, but I would say the YouTube channel owner, I think they have a measured approach. Like they get it. They're like, I just want a way to listen to Nintendo music, and I get it is Nintendo's music. If they want to take it down, okay. But why it, and I get it. It frustrates them, as I think it frustrates a lot of us. There isn't another way to just listen to Nintendo jams, however Nintendo wants to make that money. I think there's that frustration because we see Nintendo copyright claiming a lot of this shit to hold on to it and be like, you know, my precious, and not do anything with it but hold it in their hand. And that's what frustrates people. And what's also frustrating about it is that Nintendo is perfectly within their rights to do that. But that doesn't mean people aren't going to find other ways to listen to, you know, these epic, timeless songs from Metroid, Zelda, Mario, and so forth, as they need to. I mean, every streaming service out there, you name it, has at least like orchestral versions, covers, remixes, and things that are a lot harder for Nintendo to touch. But yeah, the originals, it's really, really, they don't want that. For whatever reason. Questbuster in chat says, to be honest, I'm surprised it took this long. Kind of same. Also, I wish Nintendo gave us more options to actually buy their music. Yes. And that's what I'm hearing in the YouTube channel owners' comments. That's what the frustration is. At least put the music up on streaming services then. Or if you think the streaming services don't pay enough, you know what? Put it on part of the Nintendo Online subscription, a Nintendo music player. Oh my God, what a novel idea. Okay, sure, it's going to take a little bit of development time to build that. But you know what? I don't think it would take a ton, and there's going to be a lot of people that would be super into that. How many of you would be down for a Nintendo music player as a part of your online Switch membership?
I mean, technically, they've already kind of got one in Smash Brothers. I mean,
yes, I see Bobby Blackwell just pointing that out, but y'all know that's a little different because, A, it's not really a... It's a very comprehensive, but it's not all-encompassing. And B, it is kind of buried away in the game. But I get it. I get it. Yes, there is a lot of the music in Smash Brothers. Why don't they take that out and put it on Nintendo Online? I don't know.
Anyway. That would take forethought, and they're not going to do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Artificial scarcity?
DJ Rama S in chat says, the problem is that Japanese and American copyright laws are very different. Japanese companies don't really care about the American laws, and YouTube will comply. Toei hit a YouTuber with over 150 takedowns a few weeks ago. The YouTuber won his appeal, but Toei has now stated you are not allowed to use their anime for any use whatsoever. Interesting. Jason says, game music is very prolific in Japan. RAAA and America's copyright laws are way more stringent. Hell, game OST CDs can actually be bought in Japan. I feel like we're seeing more and more Japanese companies kind of get on the streaming services, though. I feel like in our rapid fire news segment, at least once, if not twice a month, we're talking about some CD collection, some collection just came out. Namco put a bunch of music up. Capcom put a bunch of music up on Apple Music, Spotify, blah, blah, blah. You name it. It's all there. So it's interesting to me that Nintendo, again, holds on to their precious. So, yeah, FitDream says Squeenix has a lot on Spotify. Honestly, I think that's just everywhere. You insert name of streaming service here, it's there. So it took a while to get there. But it's there, that's for sure. All right, moving on. Loki, I think you're next.
All right. So the Steam Deck has some cool stuff coming.
No. No.
What?
Never mind.
Yes.
I'm wrong.
Yes.
She's really
no.
Not liking the Steam Deck.
No, I'm just completely. Because you guys talk so much over my about what
no,
I
no no I completely
and
understand
completely
this is
went off.
No, this is the whole reason why it's good to have your products named in very distinct manners. Anyways, the Steam Deck, the Valve portable console PC, they're going to be having cloud saving for the Steam Deck, which I kind of figured that it would because, you know, Steam has cloud saves, so why wouldn't this have cloud saves? But I guess that they're doing something special with it called Cloud Dynamic Sync, which is supposed to be a little bit better. It's supposed to automatically upload all modified save game data to the cloud prior to the device entering sleep mode. So it's cloud saves, but quicker. And then, of course, the Steam Deck is actually going to start rolling out on February 25th. So you can start ordering that soon. When will you get them? We don't know. At some point. It'll be out eventually.
Well, you kind of get to find out about when you're getting one, right? Like, didn't they tell people, like, you'll get one, you know, quarter three-ish?
I thought they already had the orders. Why they already did pre-orders for this? Are they going to start shipping them out? Because it says you can start ordering them February 25th.
Yeah, you can. They're shipping them out now is the big thing.
Oh, I guess the order emails to reservation holders.
Yes.
I guess that's
okay.
I guess that's
so that's what it is.
Separate to so
they're
you
sending out.
A
okay. No. This is what it is. They're sending out emails to the people that reserved it, and the email basically says, "Hi, you reserved this. Now you can pay the remainder of the amount, or we're moving on to the next person on the list." That's
Got
what it.
It
is. But they paid like $5 to hold it. It isn't that dissimilar from what I think GameStop has done historically with pre-orders. You pay $5 to pre-order the game or whatever, and then they'll call you, but there's only so long they're going to call you before they move down to the next person on the list. And so that's
right.
That's what this is going on with Steam. People already ordered this some time ago, and I guess you could still go order one if you want, but it's going to take some time to get there.
Yeah.
But we finally know that they are actually coming out because this has been delayed already. It was supposed to be a holiday last year thing, I believe. I don't think it was much earlier than that. And it's had to creep back a little bit because, you know, supply chain issues, blah, 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 blah. So these things are finally, it seems like it is actually happening. It's happening, GIF, at the end of February is when this is finally happening.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that plays out.
E3VL says GameStop is 1 week, I think. Bobby Blackwolf is kind of outlining a lot of the stuff that I just said and saying every week when they know how many they are manufacturing, they are sending emails to the next batch of pre-orders to pay the remainder and get it shipped immediately. That makes sense. So remember when you gave us $5? Here's your three-day window. Come get your Steam Deck. Steam Deck, not to be confused with what I'm about to talk about. I know some friends that got one. I didn't get one because I still kind of want to see like what they're actually like and what they look like and what the reception is. And the reality is now I probably wouldn't be able to get one for a while. But I wonder how many people put $5 down that are going to not follow through with it now. I'd be very curious
about that. We talked about it here.
Oh, yeah?
If it was going to be worthwhile just with some of the things that I want to play that I can't that at the time I couldn't play on my Mac.
Hmm.
And a lot of the games that I would want to play or the reasons that I would want to play them make a Steam Deck unrealistic. For example, you know how I like to mod Mass Effect to shit and back.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Modding going to be a...
It would completely eliminate any modding or using like screen effects. Like if I was going to say play Mass Effect through... Not Mass Effect. Dead by Daylight through Steam and I wanted to use... You know, a color mod or something to
why
make.
Wouldn't you be able to?
I was gonna say those Steam decks will probably get hacked within minutes.
Well, no, they're just PCs.
But
you can load whatever you want on them.
The operating system on them wouldn't work with the tools that exist.
It's Linux, not PC. So, and a lot of modding tools are based in.
But yeah, but you can.
And regardless. Mm-hmm. Regardless, I would want something that's a lot more versatile. Instead of paying, you know, $600 for whatever for it, I could just spend that and fix my own machine. Will you close the door for me, please? Sorry.
Pixel Pockets in chat says you can put Windows on it if you want. And Mike Def says SteamOS is Linux. So modding is pretty much
I would rather keep Linux anyway because it's a better operating system. But no. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've talked about the Steam Deck. Now let's talk about the Stream Deck, or an official attachment, if you will, for the Stream Decks so that Elgato can charge you a lot more money for what some people have done as an at-home type of hack. But it is now an official foot pedal that comes that you can buy for the Stream Deck, which is, again, the little multi-button machine like I use one here at OLR to move that little sidebar for those that watch live up and down and change some of the scene shots, run the classic Game of the Week video, things like that. So if I wanted to use my foot to do it, I could with the official Elgato foot pedal that's only going to be $115. It's quite a bit of money, but okay. It's certainly, you know, there is something to be said about having it just work. You know, if it's in the Elgato, it's you know, it's like a lot of the reasons why people like to do the Apple stuff. It just works. You plug it in, bam, yeah, it goes. Same thing with this, the
Please
Elgato.
Please tell that to my Stream Deck Mini that has decided to stop working properly.
Oh,
while
no.
my full-size Stream Deck is fine. I'm kind of considering an XL now.
Interesting. Yeah, the one here, I think I bought this when OLR first went to Twitch at the end of 20... I got a math, carry the one. 2018. I bought that, and it's still, I just got a version update for it because I think they did some Discord integration in the latest version. I haven't really explored it. But I think that's the thing that they're doing. So it's kind of interesting. So if I wanted to, you know, cause I'm sure you guys on camera can see me reaching for this thing. And so maybe it's visually distracting when I go to advance the story, or you're maybe wondering like, what am I doing over here? You know? So if I wanted to be more subtle about it, I could have a foot pedal would make us maybe make a thing. Now, again, some people have made their own, because I've heard about some broadcasters that have their own foot pedal that, you know, essentially just, you know, presses a key on the keyboard or whatever hotkey kind of does it automatically. But if you want to integrate it in with your Stream Deck, you sure can for $115. So there you go. I don't know if anyone's interested in buying one. We'll see.
Let's hook up a DDR soft pad to a
yes,
a keypadder, and
that's what I want.
Not only do you get three buttons, but you get like nine. So
that's what I want: a DDR pad that works with a Stream Deck. How on brand would that be for the history?
It would
of the show?
Like anything. All it is there. It's just passing through a key a keystroke. You can do the same thing.
SSJ 100 Matt about the foot pedal says Mr. Smush would just mash the button or sleep on it. True. Very true. Same thing with the DDR mat. Smush would just plop right there on the up arrow, and then it would be forever scrolling the scroll bar. Oh, the stories are moving by themselves. That's how you know Smush is in here. It'll be interesting to see in the new house if he could, because as it is now, he never comes to my side of the studio, so I don't know if he'll even come into the office. But honestly, when I'm doing the show, I'll probably shut the door, kind of like Dark Soccer does. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. There's a lot to discover with the new environment. So, all right. Let's go. You know, we're talking about controlling things on a computer with your foot. I think we need to go back to a simpler time when it was sprites. Anyway, here comes our next segment.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
A true classic this week, Dark Soccer. What did you pick?
I picked Wolfenstein 3D, which is pretty much the granddaddy of our FPS games. I mean, if you think about it. It is a first-person shooter that was developed by id Software, published by Apogee and FormGen. It was released for DOS on May 5th, 1992, 20 years, almost 20 years ago. And it was inspired by a 1981 Muse Software game, Castle Wolfenstein. And this is actually the third in the Wolfenstein series. So in Wolfenstein 3D... you play the role of an allied spy, William B.J. Blazkowicz, who is an American of Polish descent. During World War II, escaping from a Nazi German prison castle, Wolfenstein, and has different missions to take down the Nazis. It is very... it's got a pretty convoluted storyline, to be honest. It is the second... major independent release by id Software after the Commander Keen series. Did you ever play Commander Keen? Rob? Okay. anyway, it was programmed in part by John Carmack and John Romero. So they decided to put it together, and it was also designed by Tom Hall, built on the engine that Carmack made. And it was meant to be fast, meant to be violent, and unlike any other computer game on the market at the time. Anyway, the game was released through to Apogee with two sets of three episodes and as a shareware. And the first episode was released for free so that people would hopefully pay for the rest. And then there was an additional episode, Spear of Destiny, that was a standalone retail item from FormGen. It was a critical and commercial success, considered to be one of the greatest video games of all time. And by the end of 1995, it sold over 250,000 copies. It's one of the ones that really made, you know, put first-person shooters on the map. I mean, I honestly think that while a lot of people might think of Doom, this was really the bigger one. So it has very rudimentary 3D graphics. It has different levels that are basically flat panes with different divided areas. And each level is themed after a Nazi bunker and different buildings. So you have to go through each area to find an elevator. The levels are 10 for each episode, grouped together by those episodes, with a final level with a boss fight. It has its own difficult enemy. You have to fight guards and soldiers and dogs and other things while you have to watch your ammo and your health. You can find weapons and ammo is placed everywhere. You can pick them up off of dead enemies. You can also get, you know, you get your knife, a pistol, a submachine gun, a rapid-fire chain gun. And the enemies and objects are 2D sprites that will scale. So it's kind of a 2.5D game. But anyway, you start with 100 health, and if you get shot, it, you know, goes down, and then if it falls to zero, you die. And you start over with a knife, a pistol, and 8 bullets. You start with 4 lives, and you can gain more with extra life tokens as you go through it. So basically, the episodes, the very first two sets had, you know, each their own series. So the first series was Escape from Castle Wolfenstein, Operation Eisenfaust, and then Die Führer Die. And then the next trilogy, titled The Nocturnal Missions, was A Dark Secret, Trail of the Madman, and Confrontation. And basically, it's the Nazis want to make an army of undead robotic mutant people, and you fight Robot Hitler at the end of the game. The Nocturnal Missions is a bit of a sequel that a prequel that talks about German plans for chemical warfare. And then The Spear of Destiny, which was the standalone, has a different prequel mission trying to recapture the Spear of Destiny after it was stolen from Versailles. They did 2 sequel episodes, Return to Danger and Ultimate Challenge. And those have to do with nuclear weapons and summoning demons. Like I said, very convoluted. Anyway, it began development in 1990. Basically, a group of employees from Softdisk calling themselves Ideas from the Deep. They developed Commander Keen in Invasion of the Vorticons, the first game in the Commander Keen series. And then they were doing more games and more software and did things for Gamer's Edge video game subscription service out of Shreveport, Louisiana, which I have been to many a convention in Shreveport. And then they wanted to quit and basically make their own company. Basically, since they had created their stuff on the work computers, during office hours, they had to negotiate with their boss and agreed to do a series of games for Gamer's Edge 1 every 2 months. So they Ideas from the Deep became id Software, and they started prototyping their own games. They really were trying to push a newly budding 3D, you know, graphics style. and wanted to push the limits of personal computers as well to make a fast 3D games that, you know, would keep up with what most people had. So they took a different approach to displaying their graphics. They used ray casting, in which the surfaces visible to the player are calculated rather than the entire area surrounding the player. And then John Carmack had his 3D engine made using 2D sprites, and that started things. So moving, you know, a big fast forward through everything, they kept working on Commander Keen and a few other games. You know, the last one they did was Commander Keen and Aliens Ate My Babysitter, which saying that aloud is actually kind of funny. They decided to take some inspiration from Electronic Arts Deluxe Paint 2 and Pac-Man. So they even have a hidden Pac-Man level in the game. And as they put together their various influences, they made the game. And so they've made music for it. There were concerns, of course, about the violence and screaming in loudly in German and the death cam and stuff like that. But people liked it. When they did Spear of Destiny, they used a new graphics engine that was licensed for Shadowcaster, and it became the basis of the Doom engine. So that's how Wolfenstein 3D led into Doom. The big, weird, crazy thing about it, there was the Super Nintendo release. Imagineer bought the rights for the game and commissioned id to port it to the SNES, and they were still busy making Doom and Spear of Destiny, so they basically put it way off bat. Finally, they put one out, but they had to change so many things. There is, of course, Nintendo's censorship, so they had to remove all the Nazi imagery, remove the German voice clips, replace dogs with giant rats, rescale all of the graphics to fit the Super Nintendo's...
So you take all the Germans out of it and all the everything else, what's left?
Right. But it was released in January 10th, 1994 under Wolfenstein 3D, the Claw of Eisenfast. And it went out in North America first and then Europe later. But with... also, don't forget, making the blood green and then finally just removing it. So finally, though, they used the source code for the SNES port to convert it to run on the Jaguar. And so they were able to take that port, but improve it well above the DOS version. And, of course, removed the changes for Nintendo. But they had to slow the game code down to work on the console. Anyways, had so many different ports. In 1983, Alternate Worlds Technology licensed it and converted it to a VR game. In 1994, Acorn Archimedes port was released. There's a Mega Drive port done by Imagineer, but it was canceled because of technical issues. 1994, classic Mac OS version had three releases. The First Encounter, the Second Encounter, and the Third Encounter, aptly named. There's an Atari Lynx version that was offered, but they never started. There's a 3DO version. Apple 2GS port it looks like they had some licensing problems with that one. There's an open source iOS port that was done by Carmack himself in 2009, an unofficial port for the Game Boy Color in 2016, an Android port titled Wolfenstein 3D Touch, later renamed EC Wolf. There's a Game Boy Advance, Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, And the iOS port was the only one that had Spear of Destiny. And then in 2007, there was a Steam release for PC, Mac OS, and Linux that had all of the FormGen episodes. Bethesda, which bought id in 2009, celebrated the 20th anniversary of Wolfenstein 3D with a free-to-play browser version of the game in 2012, although it was removed a year later. Also, don't forget, Doom had, I think it was level 37, if I remember right, was a secret castle, Wolfenstein 3D level. Do you remember that?
I do. They remade. I do remember. I don't remember if it was like 1-1 in this game that was remade in Doom, but I remember one of the levels was straight out of this game. It was like a hidden.
You had
hidden
to do
thing.
Like I IDDLS something, I think, because I remember like I think there are codes that were in Doom. Some of them worked in Wolfenstein 3D, I think.
Yeah, well, I remember that Wolfenstein 3D was also extremely moddable, hackable, and like...
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
I remember dicking around with a map editor for this game and having so much fun. And I remember the Mortal Kombat mod that was really legendary for this game. Yeah, there's just so... This really defines several years of PC gaming growing up for many of us, honestly.
Oh, for sure. Well, and there's a little bit more, too. They had hoped it would make around $60,000. Their first royalty check was $100,000. The game was selling about 4,000 copies a month by mail order. It was the top shareware seller of 1992, according to PC Zone. And by the end of 1993, with the Apogee episodes and Spear of Destiny, they sold over 100,000 units each, and the Apogee game was still selling very strongly into the next year. By mid-1994, 150,000 shareware copies were registered, and it had sold another 150,000 retail copies of Spear of Destiny. However, 20% of the sales were from outside the U.S., even though the marketing for the non-English areas was really weak, and the game was banned from sale in Germany because of Nazi symbols, because their federal department for media harmful to young persons made it illegal. Famitsu removed the game, reviewed it 5 months after release, and said, view from the character's point of view, it's a real shooter. The game is easy to play, and it runs well. This is the only game of its type. And to get, you know, an American-made game getting a good review from Famitsu is a pretty big deal. Just saying.
Yeah.
But not all the ports. So the early ports got really high reviews, but their sales were not super great. The SNES one was considered a really good conversion for what it was. Had all the music, the levels. It was still as fun, even though the censorship was there. The Jaguar version was also highly well received, but they did criticize some of the character movement that made it not as fun to play. And the game itself, though, has aged so well, like especially the 3DO version, that they compare it to things like Hexen Beyond Heretic and Doom. But now it's, you know, it's a little old hat. But at any rate, this is the game that spawned a legacy. The thing is that there, I don't know if they were able to re-release it in Germany because of their software ratings board. But I think, in May 2018, a ruling said that it was allowable in-game content. So the ban was reversed, and Wolfenstein 3D decision was considered to be outdated, and that games could, as a form of, I guess, of art, it could be released. And so in November 2019, so we're talking, you know, what? I can math 17 years after its initial release.
Yeah.
It was finally removed from the ban list in Germany. And this engine was licensed to other developers, like the Commander Keen engine. So other games were Blake Stone, Quarter 7, Operation Body Count, Super 3D, Noah's Ark.
I always wondered why that game felt so much like Wolfenstein. Okay, I didn't realize they had
Rise of the Triad.
The engine. That's amazing.
Was actually Apogee intended an expansion pack that was called Rise of the Triad Wolfenstein 3D Part 2, but because the engine had been enhanced, it was just released as Rise of the Triad. We had another prototype of the engine we used to make Catacomb Adventure series. And then later on, the mods of Wolfenstein actually led id Software to create other titles that went into, I mean, part of it was Doom, the Quake series. And they left them to be modifiable because fans were having so much fun with it. I remember playing Gatchaman Quake for a very long time in Sailor Moon Doom. You know. But it led to, you know, different imitators like Ken's Labyrinth, Nightmare 3D, The Terminator Rampage, Terminal Terror, and Fortress of Dr. Radiaki. And then we had the reboot. We had Return to Castle Wolfenstein. We had Wolfenstein Youngblood and Wolfenstein Cyberpilot. Because remember, if you can't kill Hitler in Bionic Commando, you can do it in Wolfenstein.
All right. Well, there it is. Lengthy segment, but because there's a lot to say about this game. I mean, Wolfenstein 3D is definitely one of the all-time classics of, you know, certainly PC gaming. At least I certainly remember. I remember this, you know, playing this in high school, downloading it from the local BBS, playing the shit out of this game. And then, of course, when all the mods came out, it was really open season. But, you know, it is interesting the things you kind of learn about it later on is that, you know, the fact that, you know, as you were explaining, how it manipulates basically 2D sprites in a 3D space. You know, it's kind of like the Super Nintendo's Mode 7, like, amped up is basically how this game gets away with what it's getting away with. But you really see it, like, how the lights look the same no matter what angle you're looking at it. What's that?
It's not like Mode 7. Mode 7 is scaling of 2D graphics. This is 3D.
Well, right. And I did say it's not Mode 7, but like a super. But it's that same concept of taking 2D sprites and manipulating them in kind of like a 3D way. Although I guess, you know, Mode 7, if you want, never really changed the sprite. It was just kind of like how the system was looking at it. But anyway. And then, of course, you know, Doom comes out later that is that true 3D sort of game. But, of course, we don't get to Doom without this. And, you know, as you pointed out, especially when it came to the mods and, you know, a lot of the other things that were born of this era that I think a lot of us miss sometimes. You know, you were talking about the chat room was talking about the no clipping stuff being a code that was in this game. I forgot about that, but God, yes. I mean, that was early speed running for me. Using IDD clip or no clip, ID no clip or whatever the hell the code was to just get from start to finish as fast as you fucking can. Just barreling through the walls, not giving a shit about any of the mobs that were in the way or anything like that. It was just those
were some
good
times. But we
know
the best codes.
Yeah.
IDDQD and IDBFG.
There you go. Good
and
times.
I remember them to this day. Just like I remember in Hexen that you can use chicken. And that God mode is typing Satan.
All right.
Those are the days.
Yeah, those were the days. Now get off my lawn. All right, your classic game of the week. Wolfenstein 3D, which somehow had never been a pick before. That was somebody early on said that in chat. This hasn't been picked before. And I that's always like here we are. Episode. We're in our 900s now. We started this segment on episode 250. So we're coming up on almost 700 of these segments. And there's always a game where I'm like, we've never done this before. How? So fantastic. Thankfully, though, because Dark Soccer, I know you're like, I think I might be running out of games here. But thankfully, every week, new games become eligible.
Every week,
new stuff comes eligible. The general rule is that the game has to be at least 10 years old, although Dark Soccer has been known to bend that rule as appropriate, but for the most part, it's stuck to that. So, all right.
I bend it.
There it is. Well, rules are meant to be broken, and we embrace that here at OLR. All right. Let's do some rapid fire news. I'm sorry. Actually, quickly, I want to get some more comments in chat here. VXJSNXV says, I never played a Wolfenstein 3D mod. Started with Doom for sure. The most legendary one I can think of, and I even saw a YouTube of it earlier today, because when I was grabbing the B-roll for Dark Soccer's classic game, I was like, I wonder if anybody ever recorded the Mortal Kombat thing. And they did, and you can see it. Although what you can't see, or at least I didn't find that YouTube, is somebody actually fighting a boss. Because the only time you ever got to fight, like, Scorpion or whatever was those were the boss sprites at the end of the game. So those would be fun to find. So, yeah, that was the mod, I think, in my opinion. But also the map-making mod. You know, it was just a simple program that would bring up a 2D version of the map, and you would edit it to your heart's content. And good times. Questbuster says, it's also amazing to see that people are still making mods for Wolfenstein 3D, even today. I wonder if anybody, I'm surely somebody along the lines like remastered it for 4K and all this stuff. I'd be very curious to see what that looks like. So, all right.
Don't they have those versions on like Steam, though?
Probably. Well, certainly Duke Nukem.
Good old games.
Duke Nukem had it, so I don't see why not. So, all
Pretty
right.
Sure, that's already been out.
I know. I just never thought to go look for it, Loki, to be honest. All right, let's do some other segments here. Let's get into some rapid-fire news and quickly discuss some other news in the gaming industry. Loki.
Hey, you remember that Mortal Kombat movie that came out last year? Well, they're making another one.
Okay. Must have done well. I never saw it.
Because it did okay, I guess. It was all right. It wasn't too bad. Certainly not as campy as the first, you know, series of Mortal Kombat movies, but it was all right. So there'll be a new one coming at some point, but that's pretty nice. And then speaking of new things coming, we're not really ready for this considering the GPU shortages that we're running into right now, but Crysis 4 has been announced, and this is coming off shortly that it leaked on Chinese social media. But now they officially announced that, yes, Crysis 4 project is confirmed, and they are working on the game. When is it coming out? No idea. Just an announcement.
Just hurry up and wait.
But your PCs are crying already.
All right. Darsakra.
So Yacht Club Games is going to be doing a, quote, groundbreaking announcement on Tuesday, February 1st. It's a mega announcement. We don't know what the mega announcement is, but they're making one. Good for them. They said a mega announcement, so we'll see. And then Final Fantasy 14, it's back on sale, except you can't get free trial signups for right now, but you can do Steam, PlayStation, Squinix store. You can pay for it, but you can't play test it out for free. No test drives. And there's a new patch 6.08.
Which fixed the sound issues. I'm so happy.
Well, so good.
And the Oceanic data center opened as well, which, and the queues, honestly, like considering the server I play on, I think is one of the more popular ones. Not the most, but one of the more popular ones. My queues are usually not worse than 100. So the queue problems, you know, and I'll, you know, it's not a big deal to wait like 3 minutes, and you know, usually I'm up and getting a glass of water or something anyway. So yeah, it's a lot of the issues that were there at the expansion's launch are starting to subside a little bit, which is nice. We'll see what happens when 6.1 rolls out and there's new content that has everybody coming back, but we'll see.
We'll see is a very apt thing for most of the stuff that's going on right now, you know.
Yep. I'm really excited.
That's all I could say.
I'm really excited about the data center travel stuff that's supposed to come out with the next patch too, so I finally get to play with people I've never been able to play the game with because we're on different data centers. So that'll be very exciting. I hope it works out. Okay, let's take a moment to travel around the world and check out some release dates. So if you don't feel like buying Final Fantasy 14, since you can't do a free trial, maybe there's a different game you want to buy. So let's see what's coming out around the world this week, and we'll start with the U.S., Loki.
We have the Life is Strange Remastered Collection coming out on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, and Stadia. And Dying Light 2 Stay Human on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And then finally, Maglem Lord on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. That's it.
All right, going to Japan. Pretty slow week on the Nintendo Switch. There's an English version of the game Farm Together that is getting a Japanese release, published by Rainy Frog, but that is really the only thing on the Switch this week. I'm going to guess that Pokemon Legends, having just come out, probably kind of dominated the Switch cycle there. But if you go to your PlayStation 5, you can check out Dying Light 2 Stay Human, which is coming out on February 4th. And that's it for PlayStation 5. I just want to check the 4 real quick and see if they get any. They also get Dying Light, of course, Dying Light 2, excuse me, and the Farm Together game. But otherwise, that's about it. I'm thinking Pokemon Legends, they figured would keep everybody busy for a week. So nothing else that exciting, at least this week. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
Only really three things coming out on the 4th. For PlayStation and Xbox, Dying Light 2, Stay Human, Deluxe Edition and Regular Edition, it looks like. On Switch, Autobahn Police Simulator 2. And then for PlayStation and Switch, Maglum Lord. Looks interesting. That's it.
All right. Just a few more stories for you, and then we will open up our Discord for calls. Check out our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord. We have a variety of chat channels where we can stay in touch throughout the week, including a channel where some of you submit your stories for potential inclusion on OLR, and I do use that sometimes. We have a brand new channel on the Discord server this week for all the dead celebrity posts, because things were getting a little depressing, because every day it was like somebody was dying. And what, just today, we had our first post in the new channel. Howard Hessman passed away, which is, you know, if you ever watched reruns of WKRP in Cincinnati, you know how Howard Hessman.
It's Johnny Fever.
Yep. Also, he had another big, he was the teacher and head of the class. Was the other big role he had. Yeah. And then, of course, I remember him from Clue. He had an uncredited cameo in Clue. Or, well, he might have been in the credits, but, like, he wasn't advertised in the movie. He was the chief of police at the end.
Yeah.
Our lives are in danger, you beatnik. He was the guy trying to – the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which I can I can recite the entire movie Clue by memory, so don't try me. but, yes.
Oui, oui, madame.
No, thanks. I just need to powder my nose. All right. I played Mrs. Peacock in the last Shadowcast, remember?
Which is why I said the line.
it's one of the few times I've done drag, but I'm going to say I was a damn good drag queen. I was, all of my makeup was done by one of the local kings. Shout out to Sir Vix, who made a, which I love that name, by the way, for a drag king, but shout out for making me as nice as I looked. But yeah, that was a fun show. All right.
No longer Vic Knives?
So as a performer, they are Sir Vix, and as a craft maker and that, they are Vic Knives. So,
gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Going into some other news, Loki, starting off with a headline that I saw this and I thought it was cute.
Yes, as if you couldn't love the developers of Joe Danger and No Man's Sky even more.
Five years ago, it was easy to hate them, but now you can't help but love them.
Now, so Sean Murray had shared this letter DM that he got from a child's father, basically saying, "I'm writing this letter on behalf of my son, Jack. Jack is 8 years old, is about the sweetest kid on the planet, and has been diagnosed with autism. As you probably know, children with autism deal with a great many struggles. Chief among them are great difficulties with social interactions. However, one of the things that has enabled Jack and I to bond is our share and love of video games, specifically Joe Danger. Jack loves Joe." And so paraphrasing, the issue is that they used to play it on iOS, and the versions of Joe Danger that are out, were out previously, were basically taken off of the App Store because they weren't compatible with the newer versions of iOS. So Sean Murray then took it upon his team to update Joe Danger so that they could play it again on iOS. So that's what they did. They put out a new version of Joe Danger and the two mobile versions of the game. So let's see, Joe Danger Touch and Joe Danger Infinity. And so those are now been updated, and I guess they did a remaster on it as well. So all because of the letter that he received. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, never underestimate the power of speaking up. So I think that's cool that they – yeah, I know a lot of – like Flappy Bird no longer works on iOS if somehow you still have that game, because they did that – I think it was like 32-bit apps have to be 64-bit apps. I may be wrong on that. But it was some sort of change they made a few years ago, honestly, and just apps that hadn't been touched in a while, and Joe Danger was one of them, kind of fell into that, you know, void where they don't work anymore. But I think it's really cool they went back and they used it as an opportunity to clean it up a little bit. Like, I think it runs at a smoother frame rate now and it looks a little better. If you never played Joe Danger, it's Excitebike-ish Trials, one of those sorts of games. It's cute. It's nothing like No Man's Sky. So it's wild that it's like the same team.
I still don't like this person-first language that they used to speak about people like me. Mm-hmm. A lot of us prefer just to be called autistic people.
I don't know. It's the kid's father. So that was the one that was writing the letter.
But I should definitely check out the Joe Danger updates on the phone because it sounds like it's super cute. So, and again, never underestimate the power of voice and speaking up. And you might get developers to take a second look at what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. I think we're to Dark Sakura.
So Sega is hanging up their arcade towel. It's not, they're not doing the arcade thing anymore. They have finally, announced their intention to sell their remaining 14.9% share, with its arcade division to Genda Inc., which is the same company they have, that has purchased the majority of, Sega's other arcades back in 2020. So this will mean Sega Sammy is out of the arcade business altogether. And its remaining locations aren't even using any type of Sega branding at all. The remaining centers are being rebranded as Gigo Entertainment. A statement from their chairman basically says they're going to rebrand Sega's major Tokyo locations, Ikebukuro, Akihabara, and Shinjuku, before they roll out nationwide branding. For manufacture, Sega is expected to continue to produce units of its current games for worldwide distribution, but for arcade, running an arcade, owning arcades, it's gone. I mean, and we know that they closed down all the GameWorks over here, so.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that almost the same week. Not quite, but like just within the same breath. You have GameWorks and now, you know, Sega's arcade physical locations, you know, in Japan. That is interesting to me that 1-2 punched.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I mean, I think that the harder hit on it came with the pandemic. That had a thing to do with it, but arcades were kind of, I don't know. I don't know what the arcade situation is like in Japan, but anytime I find an arcade, like an actual arcade, it's a unicorn. And I want to move in and put it in a protective bubble and never let it go.
Well, I feel, yes, I do agree, but
This is someone who worked at a bunch of arcades.
No, I know, and I feel like those sort of like strip mall or mall, 80s mall arcades, yes, are like that. But what I see instead is now this Dave and Buster round one thing. And that's, you know, now that if we want to talk about Sega making machines, I feel like round one is going to be the place where you're going to see those. At least here in this, Sega was never really, you know, it wasn't the same thing as it was in Japan here. Sega's makes a ton of those claw machine games, don't they? I'm almost positive I see their name on a ton of those. And round one is full of those. So, you know, and whatever else Sega dreams up in that space, in the near future for actual physical arcade machines, as you kind of pointed out. But yeah, it's weird that like the multi-purpose entertainment space is what's still here, but not the dedicated arcade. Like it's Dark Soccer, you know what it is? It's got to have a bar. That's how the arcade stays open. It's got to have a bar.
People want to drink and play games.
I guess, but that's how Dave and Buster. I mean, back even hell, when this show first started 20 years ago, you, me, Loki, all the people that ran in our circle, it was a huge deal to go to Dave and Buster's over at the Great Mall in San Jose, because, you know, the Roseville one didn't exist yet, and it's kind of sad anyway. But it used to be a big deal to go on that road trip and go over there and go to Dave and Buster's because we're going to play Derby Owners Club and all this stuff today. It was like a big deal. And now, there's closer Dave and Buster's, and soon we might finally have a fucking round one here.
But, at some point.
Some point. Supposedly future. This year. I mean, the theater finally opened over there, so we're just waiting. But, well, they're probably, honestly, they're probably waiting for this Omicron thing to, you know, start to subside where people feel a little more comfortable about going out. And I know that we're going to have to deal with COVID for a very long time, but it's the whole, what is people's comfort level of going out? And round one isn't probably going to open until people feel comfortable.
And I'm sure you're familiar with what happened to, the drive-in arcade.
Mm.
Remember that?
I came up on the tail end of last show. I think they burned down.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's sad.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I got to say, though, clever workaround by them. Not for the arcades, sadly, but I heard that the theaters opened again and they have food trucks. They get 6 or 7 food trucks over there to take the place of the snack bar. And I thought that was clever. And I'm kind of surprised more drive-ins don't just do that naturally. Yeah. So
that's a good alternative.
It is a good alternative. Somebody thought outside the box of that. Good job. Okay. Anyway, so DJ Rama S in our chat is talking about, hey, Sega wasn't really in the arcade business. They paid to have their name up on the arcades. Geigo is the company that basically ran all the arcades and whatnot. Yeah, but it's still, it's still something to see a name like Sega front and center now coming down off the window. You know what I mean? It's a certain changing of the guard that still makes us a little bit sad, just like when they stopped making hardware. I know the other one that makes me sad, when their logo came down at that building right off I-80 in San Francisco, right where I-80 starts in San Francisco.
Yeah, that was sad. It was
Zynga. I think it still is Zynga. Yeah. So yeah, it used to be the Sega building. That's the closest thing I can think of, Rama. It was sad to see their logo come down and a different one go up. So. Pixel Paca says, I like what Geigo is an acronym for. Get into gaming oasis. See, I always thought Geigo was garbage in, garbage out, and that's something you learn in programming very early on. But yes. Get into gaming oasis. All right. Let's move on. A few more stories. I think we're back to Loki.
All right. So this is another example of memes becoming games, and
Joy. We
have one now with Steamed Hams being its own point-and-click adventure experience. For those who... I can't imagine anybody that's not familiar with the Steamed Hams thing from The Simpsons. Now you can play it a la, you know, Day of the Tentacle, Monkey Island, or something like that.
I don't know it. I don't know the meme.
You don't know the meme? Okay. So it's Principal Skinner is making dinner for Superintendent Chalmers, and he is cooking a roast and then it burns in his oven. So then he's constantly trying to trick Chalmers into thinking that nothing is going wrong. So first he comes in and he's like, oh, what's all that smoke? He's like, that's not smoke. That's steam. Steam from the steam clams. And then so he decides to go across the street to Krusty Burger and get hamburgers. He brings it back and then pretends that the hamburgers are his own creation. And he feeds it to them and basically said, well, wait a second. I thought you said we're having steam clams. He's like, no, not steam clams. Steamed hams. It's a New York it's a New York dialect.
I feel like that's been a plot in every sitcom at some point. But OK, that's cute. It's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets even more ridiculous because their house is burning down, and he's like, what is that, you know, in there? He's like, that's the Aurora Borealis. And they're like, this time of year, in this part of the planet, localized in your kitchen?
That's funny.
Yes. Can I see it? No. It's stupid. But funny.
So I'm assuming this game has about as much depth as the point-and-click adventure game Don't Shit Your Pants. Right? Is that
It's very short. Obviously, it's just that bit. They added a few more dialogue pieces there from other episodes of The Simpsons to get in there. But apparently, the writer of that episode, The Simpsons, Greg Daniels, thought it was hilarious on Twitter. So, go check it out.
All right, thank you for explaining the meme to my old ass. I appreciate it. All right. And last but not least tonight, something that Jason was teasing at the top of the show, the Oculus Quest no longer called the Oculus Quest. It's now the Meta Quest, because, of course, we know that Facebook has rebranded things. So if you own an Oculus Quest, guess what? Not anymore. It's now the Meta Quest. I don't know what else to say besides that and how we feel about that name change. But there it is. I still refuse to call
it
Meta. Sorry, I will only call Meta World Peace Meta. I'm not going to call this company Meta. It's just, I feel, it's just, yeah. But I guess now we have to actually call it the Meta Quest when we're talking about certain VR headsets. Here's that. See, a Tiberian chat says, ironically, Meta isn't self-aware enough to understand it. True.
They should just call the device the Musil. It could be the Meta Musil.
That's funny. All right. Let's get to the listener roundtable. Every week we invite your emails, your calls on Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord, and any other comments or things you'd like us to discuss in our chat room over at twitch.tv/vognetwork. We do invite your emails every week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com, but I believe Dark Sakura has reported that she found dust and not much else in the mailbag, correct?
Anybody?
Yeah,
no.
Nothing.
Dust.
Anybody? No? Dust. Anybody? No? Dust. Yeah, participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails. I can't even talk about Drag Race because I admittedly haven't been watching this season, really, outside
Same.
Of just the little clips I see on social media. What are we left to do? Anyway.
Yellow Jacket Talk.
I haven't seen that show. Okay. I will. Okay. And I don't see calls in the Discord
God,
either.
You want me to talk about it?
No, oh, I was God. Just going to say, what TV shows should I be watching then? Because I see all this shit about Yellow Jackets. That one I see.
Euphoria.
Is Euphoria? So there's this clip going around the internet of the girl that's like in the dress and someone thinks she's in the play Oklahoma and she just fucking loses it on people. And I was like, is that what high school is now? I guess. It's wild. But like, there's all these shows and I'm so uncool because I don't watch any of them.
My wife made me watch Yellow Jackets. It was all right.
Yeah. That's the one Christina Ricci's in, right?
Yes. She does not look like herself.
she's a little bit older now. She's not as old as she was when she played Wednesday.
No, like, she's blonde in the show. So it's like, she looks like somebody else, but like, she reminds me of, not Amy Poehler, she reminds me of, like, there's another SNL actress that was on there that she kind of resembles, but I don't remember.
Kate McKinnon?
But yeah, maybe, I don't know, but like, yeah, she's good on the show. I mean, it's an interesting series. It's kind of like, you know, it's like almost like a survival drama, like a teen drama, and then like a little bit of supernatural stuff, so it's a little bit Lost-ish, I guess. Although I say that without having any context of what Lost was like. It's all right. I like it.
Question in chat from E3VL, who asks, anyone see the Halo HBO trailer released today? I believe it's actually Paramount Plus.
It's Paramount Plus, and it looks awesome.
Yeah,
no,
I did.
And I don't care.
I did see the trailer, actually. I wasn't watching the football game, but of course it was everywhere on the internet right after that. It looks interesting, but I feel like it's another TV show I will intend to watch and then never get around to it. But it looked interesting.
I saw that they had Halo in Boba Fett.
Really?
A whole area looked like a combination of Halo and the Citadel from Mass Effect.
Oh, inspired. I get it. Okay. Tiger Claw says, the Halo TV series looks like it should be good. Don't expect it to follow the same continuity of the games. They said it's an alternate timeline that's adjacent to the games. Yeah, I got that vibe from the trailer.
I don't expect anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, don't just go in expecting a TV show, and because that's what you're going to get. I guess I should try to watch stuff on TV, but I tend to watch a lot of like Twitch streaming, and then I'm playing video games. And
I've been forcing myself to watch the Book of Boba Fett.
It's so good.
The Book of Boba Fett's not even in it half the time.
No.
He is in this one. There's just the last episode he wasn't in it. But like, The Mandalorian's all right. But the Book of Boba Fett's been kind of, I don't know.
No, it's been awesome. I don't know what you're talking about. It's been great.
You got to watch the earlier seasons in The Mandalorian and compare like the action, the story elements.
I have seen them both. It's a different kind of story. And I think they're both equally good.
I don't know. It's... You kind of compare
opinion,
it to,
but my opinion is right for me.
It's odd that the best episode of the season is the one that he's not in. I don't know.
Well, I will admit that last episode was the best of the season, but I have vastly enjoyed the rest of it because I like the culture being built up, the expansion of the world, and I think that that is absolutely fascinating. Plus, I mean, Ming-Na Wen is in it, so.
No, and I agree. I like the expansion of the universe and showing like different, you know, side solid stuff. I like all that. It's just like they have a lot of really weak. They have some
that
really
Wookie.
Weak characters. The Wookiee is awesome.
He's going to be my
awesome.
Daddy.
I have to admit I cut my Disney Plus loose. I let it go. I canceled it. I know this when I do watch TV. If I watch anything, honestly, this is so weird. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I really use Paramount Plus more than anything else, which is wild. I never thought I'd say that, but it is what it is. So, but you know, I like a lot of reality trash TV shows and they're all on there. And I will give credit where credit's due to Paramount Plus. They're starting to bring in the international versions. Like I have been watching in the background, not a lot, but a little bit of Australian Survivor, which I'm starting to realize is superior to the one we have here. It truly is. Like the way it's cinematically shot and told is incredible. So it's neat that they have that. Cause like, yeah, I love that they have different versions of stuff. So, yeah. And I need to watch, I'm so far behind on Trek, which by the way, I guess that Star Trek cruise that I went on a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic, I guess they are going again this year. Cause, our friend, Captain Matt from the former Starboard Power Coupling show is going and was like, do you want to go? He's like, do you want to go? There's rooms available. And I'm like, not with the house. And I'm not quite at that. I know I've done some risky things, not quite at that comfort level yet, but I hope everything works out. You know, it's still a month away. So there's still a month, but, yeah, I just thought
they better be screening people at the gate.
I believe they are.
Like rapid test on site.
I actually believe vaccination and rapid testing is a thing.
Good.
I'm pretty sure. But I saw a bunch of like, there was some gay cruise that happened and people were packed in there. Let me tell you. And I guess they had similar protocol and didn't spread it. So precautions work. How about that?
Yep. So.
Bobby Blackwell says,
need the rapid test for norovirus.
Bobby Blackwell says, if they're in Florida, they can't, LOL, against the law. I think they found a way around it. I think also it's a private company putting it on. The private company rented the boat. There's something they did to get around it. And I know they have to log on to a website and put some of their paperwork on there beforehand, or the private company won't let them go. So I think that's how they're getting around it somehow. And maybe they're testing on the boat or something. I don't know. Anyway, but I don't know because I'm not going. But I thought it was interesting that is coming up because somebody brought up Star Trek. I'd love to go next year if, you know, assuming that, you know, COVID is more endemic and manageable and the money situation is good and all that stuff. I'd love to consider going again. I had the best time before, you know, literally the week before everything went to shit here. So I'd love that. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I think we will move to wrap up the show. Actually, wait, I should check in with Loki and see if there's any last minute stories.
Yes, let's talk about our favorite topic, NFTs.
No.
So apparently there was an NFT thing called Blockverse that launched that they sold an estimated $1.2 million worth of NFTs, about 10,000 of them. And they were basically like Minecraft skins, I guess.
Oh,
and then there was
some
issue with it. Like, I don't know why they took them down, but apparently they took them down at some point. And so now they're not accessible anymore. So you dropped all your money and you don't even have the crappy picture to look at.
So you mean, when things exist in a decentralized space, there's criminal activity and people that don't follow through that exist? You mean in the wild, wild west, there were people that didn't follow the rule of law? Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. People are doing shitty things to steal other people's money? on my internet?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, that's unfortunate. Like I said, you know, these skins even look terrible too. It's just, you know, about the same amount of effort that, you know, was put into the Yacht Club Apes or whatever. Just, I don't know. It looks procedurally generated.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says they didn't break the law. Well, you know what? In the wild, wild west, I am the law.
Hmm.
And they broke me.
Technically, you still own that link to the image. It's just that link to the image doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't go anywhere.
So technically, you got what you paid for. Just, you know.
It's true. You got your little certificate. All right. No, nothing happier to end on, Loki?
No.
Damn you. All right. That's all right. All right. Well, we'll try to get some happy final thoughts, maybe. We're going to go around. But first, before I get everyone's final thought, I'm going to say thank you, as always, for tuning into Orange Lounge Radio. Whether you were here live with us on Twitch on this lovely Sunday evening, or you're listening to us on the podcast feed at some point throughout the week, thank you for being a part of our little family here at Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you for being part of the show and keeping us going for the last 20 years and over 900 episodes. Now you know I can make that joke. It's over 900! I can do that.
It's just be 9,000. Wait till we get to 9,000.
I am the law. All right. Anyway. if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, spread the word. Help us spread the word. Because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices here. So tell a friend or two, even if you hated the show. I'd be surprised you got to this point if you hated the show. But hey, some people hate watch things. What?
If I may say so, for anyone who is here for the live show, make sure you host. Because that improves our algorithm.
Yes, and sadly, auto hosts don't work anymore for whatever reason.
Get better TTV, have it add the host button, and you click the host button, and you're done.
Phil of 9 in chat says, congrats on 9,000 episodes. Well, I trust him. He has a 9 in his name. So I think clearly Phil is the expert on 9s. Dressed to the 9s, comments to the 9s. 9s, 9s, 9s across the board. All right. Anyway, thank
you. Listen up, 9s. A 10 is speaking.
Jamie suddenly rolls a new chat name. Jamie of 10.
No.
That's when Bobby shows up with Bobby of 11. Wait. All right. Anyway.
90,000 cookies is what you get after going on Wish.
All right. Thank you again, as always, for being here. Thank you. Help us spread the word. Our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. I don't know what else to plug, so I'm just going to turn it over to final thoughts. Dark Sakura, I know you're going off to do your killing and stabbings and all that stuff on Dead by Daylight. What is your final thought tonight?
I need three other people to play with me tonight so that I can be convinced to get my Michaela adept. If not, then I'm just going to stab people.
Ooh, I'm almost tempted if I didn't actually have things I need to do before work tomorrow.
How very dare you?
But hit me up during the week if you decide to try again.
Well, I've got new days off now.
All right. I'll be waiting. All right, take care, Dr. Sakura.
You too.
All right, and we will go to Loki for your final thought.
My final thought is I hope this cold goes away very soon.
Me too. Me too. Being sick is no fun. My final thought is that I have my first A1C check since all this diabetes stuff started a few months ago tomorrow. So everybody send good vibes my way. I check my blood sugar. I know pretty much where I stand. And I'm expecting the news to be good, but I want the news to be really good. So I will take your vibes and good juju and all that stuff. So appreciate that. And that's really it. Otherwise, I can't wait to do this again in 7 days. I can't wait to be in my new place. I can't believe it's less than a month away at this point. Today is officially the 30-day notice, although we told our current landlord a couple weeks ago just to be nice. But yeah, I can't believe it. Very, very close. All right. That's it. We're done. We're wrapping up. We're out of here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being a part of the show. Happy gaming, everyone, and we will see you next week. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio.
Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.